Our name is the RRR Podcast. 5 years ago, we made it our mission to bring you the latest toku news in the craziest way possible. But after a plague of boring tokusatsu struck, it was up to us to save our podcast. To do this, we had to do something else. We had to discuss something else.
Hello, welcome to our Season 6, Episode 47.
Who'd you gonna call?
Oh, get God. It? Oh, I get it.
Yeah, because, you know, the crossover that I watched, like, 25%. Maybe, like, 23.
Man, I didn't even connect the crossover dots. I mean, I got the
pun. Yeah, because it was, like...
Well, I get it now. I fully understand. Bravo props, maybe? No, not really.
No, no props.
No props.
It's better than last week's, I think.
Well, maybe anything is.
I don't remember what last week's was, to be honest. I was going through a bit of a drought.
I remember it was awful. I know that much.
Yeah, that's exactly why that was better. Oh, it was They're Grateful.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah.
Episode 45 wasn't much better, to be honest.
No, I think that one was way worse. Like, it got sort of progressively better. We're on an upward turn. Precious, I don't know. let's okay. Just get going, I guess.
So anyway, let's see. What is up? I got Hyrule Warriors Legends. I played the first world and then proceeded to switch back to Super Mario. Mario & Luigi Paper Jam, because I was in the middle of playing that, and that's more important. I was correct in my assumption, though, that the Hyrule Warriors formula is perfect for a handheld. Like, there's immediate slowdown because the 3DS can't, like, handle that many enemies at one time. But, well, the 3DS can't handle the truth either. But, like, it's, like, just the format of the game handles well for... What the hell was that? Crazy. Oh, no cat crotch.
Oh, God. It just got real.
I sat on my arm really weird. Anyhow.
Okay.
So I got that. I think that was, like, one of the only things that I actually got. Saw Batman vs. Superman on Friday. And that was... We'll talk about that. I saw it on Thursday. What the hell am I talking about?
I saw it on Friday. Brian took my line. That was my line in the script. Dawson, I saw Batman vs. Superman on Friday. Can you imagine if this whole show was scripted? Like, how crazy that would be? Just, like, that huge reveal that it's scripted, like, all these crazy lines. Kevin's, like, last 10 pages are just dot, 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 dot.
So that happened, and on Cast Friday when I
Kevin's
picked up
corpse. Sorry.
When I picked up Hyrule Warriors Legends, I got the Funko mystery minis or whatever, because I still had a little bit of money to burn on the gift card, and I got Superman and Wonder Woman. So of course I went to eBay and bought Batman because I needed to have all three of them. So he arrived, and my little trio's complete. So, they're cute. They're my movie representation. I was at FYE today, and well, Disney has these thing called Tsum Tsums, and they're like little, like, circular pillow looking plushes of, like, their characters. And so naturally, eventually, they made Marvel ones. Well, DC. Licensed to this company called Wish Factory. Is that the company? Yeah, that's the company. And
Shout Factory's our rival.
they're a lot more pleasant rival because they just wish, they don't yell at you. but so instead of making little round plushes, they made little square plushes. And they're called Kawaii Cubes, which made me kind of hate them. But they were really
I'm already
cute.
killing myself. Kyle White, die. Just go. Leave.
So I got Flash, Green Arrow, and Supergirl for my DC TV trifecta. Because I didn't have anyone from Legends of Tomorrow. They're too obscure. I'm hoping eventually they actually do, like, DC TV ones. Because, like, these are the comic versions. Design.
Those lame asses. They ruin the TV characters.
I know, right? Reverse purist.
With their years of confusing as fuck history.
Have you even tried to research Reverse Flash?
Oh god, I almost died.
Gotta start with which one and then which time period and which one got altered to what? This one's a zombie?
Oh man. This one's Santa Claus? I mean, that's just ours.
Your toys, give them to me.
Oh, that's just the best.
But yeah, it's been a slow week. No, like, boxes or anything, because I'm waiting for Cube Gorilla to release before I ship anything out, so I'm just sitting here.
I'm gonna shoot my laser. Shoop da whoop.
Shoop da whoop.
That's what it said.
It is.
Like, my week's been pretty much like that, too. I mean, we had, like, a blizzard, like, the night. It might have been the... No, it wasn't. It was the night after, or right before the podcast. It was, like, I think we mentioned it last week. So, like, it was, like, leading in the spring break. So, I haven't done much. I mean, I caught up on Sleepy Hollow. I did start Gold, but I'm, like, really short into it. Oh, there's this sort of mundanely frustrating story behind that. I had to restart Gold 7 times. Or Heart Gold, because I wanted a female Chikorita, and after the fifth time I restarted it and got it, you can't save your game because there's already another save file, and we put extra fucking security measures, and I forgot, even though they warned me before I started it. And I was like,
so hold on, what happened?
So mad. I didn't delete my save file from my last playthrough. Like, I moved everything over, and it was all gone. But, like, you can't save a new game, like, a new game, unless you go into the start menu and click, like, select down and be at the same time and properly delete your file.
Oh.
I guess it's, like, a security measure. I mean, I was like, why the fuck didn't they say anything? But then when I went back into it, it does say it. I just didn't read it. All I thought that it said was, you know, are you sure you want to start a new game? Which I think, are you sure you want to save is a good enough security measure. But it was really frustrating because the amount of the times I had to restart to get this female Chikorita. So, like, I stopped for a little bit after that because I was so mad. And then I came back and restarted it again until I got female Chikorita. But I'm not very far. I think I just got to Azalea Town. So, but other than that, I honestly haven't been doing much. I saw the movie, too. Like I said, I've been working on my next drawing project, being disgruntled at people for not responding to my Facebook messages. The Reverse Flash thing did remind me that my friend was over the other day and we were going to watch a movie, and we almost watched Man of Steel, but he saw that I had a Justice League movie because he was, like, a huge fan of the Justice League series in the 90s or 2000s or whatever, and it was a Flashpoint. And I was just thinking, I said, I bought this movie to get more answers on the Reverse Flash. It didn't work. I got zero answers about the Reverse Flash.
I got zero answers and more questions.
He was in the movie for, like, 5 minutes. So, like,
and a strong desire to see more Thomas Wayne as Batman.
Exactly. It's so disturbing. And Martha Wayne... Martha Wayne as the Joker is so fascinating. I think there was more to that. I don't remember if they ever did a movie to it, but there's definitely more comic to it. But whatever. But it's just funny thinking back to that. Like, I still am fascinated by it. But how, like, hungry I was for answers about everything. And, like, how little I got. Because I love that they're changing it. But, like, it makes it impossible to really spoil yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But so, yeah, that was
funny. I think that's one of the greatest things about it is, like, as much as you want to hunt for spoilers, you can't. You can hunt for hints, perhaps, but not actual spoilers.
That's why it's boring in so many of the cases if they follow everything to the letter. Like, even The Walking Dead. You saw last week's, right, where Smith's ex-girlfriend got shot?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that apparently happened to Abraham in the comics.
Oh.
So, because I was watching Talking Dead, and the guy that was on, the who's like the fan contest guy, said that he was waiting for Abraham to get shot. So, like, I love little things like that. Like, I only know about certain key events in the comics, but, like, so much has changed, and I love that. It's like an alternate universe, basically, and I don't know. I just think it's boring that so many people want them to just follow the same thing over and over again. But, so, yeah. It's been a pretty mundane week. It destroyed the characters! Every single Batman's face has been replaced by Ben Affleck! Like, just, you go into any single comic book, you watch the old animated series, and it's just a picture of Sadflick's face. Like, any, that was really funny. Like, that video killed me when you watch it, and as soon as his eyes cast down and you just hear "Hello, darkness, my old friend," I was dead. Like, that's like the perfect example of me in an art critique when I think I did good, and then I see everyone else's work, and I'm just sitting there like, "Hello, darkness, my old friend." Henry Cavill's just next to me being super chipper. Like, that happens every art class.
Oh my god, Bella.
Ding, oh. Ding, ding. That's the sound of round two.
I think you're
right.
I
have a hard time saying that without slipping into a southern accent.
Oh no, my headphones.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
I can't Good hear luck, you.
Who am I talking to?
Go on without me.
I don't know what to do. Cat, help him. Cat can't hear me either. We need professional help. Dr. Phil, Oprah, somebody help me. I'll just wait it out. I don't know what to do when the spotlight shines on me. I shrivel up like Jerry.
Damn it, Jerry.
Oh, jeez. Stupid me. Should have never saved my life. Wait, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hashtag Verizon Classic.
Ow.
And I forgot what I was saying.
Oh,
but I
guess it's raining. You're not gonna go out when it's raining. Trust me, I've tried.
Good luck finding Ferguson. I haven't seen him in weeks.
He did just kind of disappear.
Oh, Ferguson. But they did mention that he has another cat that, like, CeCe knows about. Was that, I think, was it the air conditioned episode? I don't know if it was the air conditioned episode, but I love that treehouse that everybody knew about. Like, this season, CeCe has gotten, like, fully absorbed into the crazy. Like, she used to be the straight man, but she's, like, full in it now. Oh, classic.
Ever since she started working at the bar.
Classic CeCe and Winston mess around.
That's one for the
coach is coming back for an episode or two in the finale, so that's cool. Not coach anymore, it's just coach. Alright, well, speaking of coach, I guess it's time for the nudes. Nude coaches. It sort of ties together, because this just in, Roy is going to be playing Jason's dad.
Office Roy, but not like flipping Roy.
No. That would be more hilarious. It would be like the plot of that movie 17 again with Zac Efron, but with Roy. Like, it's just like a complete teen reboot where the plot is that his dad turns into a teenager, but like it's somehow a Power Rangers movie. I'd watch that shit. Jason, it's Roy. Look out.
Why do people listen to us?
Like, it's so funny. Like, I hope all of the, like, adult and, like, villain roles are filled with really recognizable people to us, like they are now. Like, you have five nobodies that the fandom is stalking like nobody's business. Look, her zipper says Trini on it! Freak out! That actually happened. Like, joke.
I missed that one.
No, it was, there was, like, her zipper said Trini on it, and everyone was, oh my god, you people are just, I can't even, I can't. But, like, it's, like, these five nobodies, and then you got, like, Elizabeth Banks, Zach and Miri make a porno, and then you got Roy. Like, I want Seth Rogen to find his way in there at some point. Jonah Hill. She's going to be the next 21 Jump Street.
Jonah but, Hill so. As Mordant.
I did like George's idea of Sin being the Green Ranger just so that she could call the whole cast Abercrombie. But what, there was some scans of Spectre deer form.
Oh yeah, deep like Spectre.
It's like a version of Deep Toot, basically.
Oh, what a name.
He's based off of the legendary Pokemon from Pokemon X, who I'm forgetting the name of at this point.
Xerneas.
There we go.
I'm so, Kamen Rider Deep Spectre. I don't even know what that means. Like, what so is that deep, supposed to mean?
He's so deep, like, his suit is a commentary on commentaries. Like, he's so deep. It's just, I don't know. But, like, that's just the only...
Just an FYI, I hate his color scheme. I don't mind the suit, I just don't like the color scheme. It's this weird silver and purple combination that looks really strange.
That's the only thing new that I can remember. I looked at the tweets that said new scans and the picture they used to represent them, but I never clicked on the links. So I'm really like batting 1,000 for this episode in terms of being prepared. I saw the news, but I didn't acknowledge it. That actually pretty much sums up my life, actually.
There's another Ganma icon set that they announced. It's like the fifth one, I think.
Still think Oki's shunning me, so.
That's a thing.
So even if I wanted, I don't even know what's happening. No one's responding to my messages. Jesus. Thank God, a reaction. Now I know I'm not a ghost. Like, damn it, I kind of wanted to message my friend now just so that, like, if she responds, I can say that. Damn it. I want to do this solely for the bit. Who cares if I piss her off? That actually also describes my life pretty well. I will sacrifice anything for a bit. Classic me and me mess around. Well, that's like already two for the bingo. Like, I just realized.
Can I stamp this word twice? What does that get me?
I love that that's a thing, and how quickly me saying that became like a normal thing. It's just such a funny line. But other than those scans and Roy, I can't think of anything else. Truly.
I can't see my computer screen right now, so I can't
even can, but I choose not to.
You can see my computer screen right now?
Yes, I can. I'm outside your house.
I unfortunately can't see through my dog.
Teal'ware says hi. You'll get that.
God damn it, Bella.
Our codes are clever.
Yeah, I don't see anything else, so I think we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
We missed something.
We're so good at
now,
being
whatever.
Professionals. Now it's time for...
Oh, God damn it. It's happening.
Superhero again. Time. It's time for superhero time.
Thank Brian. You.
It's just... Ooh, I don't know whatever Kevin did. Zoinks, I don't know.
Zoinks. Jinkies.
Gooby Snack. Jinky.
Something about an ascot, I figure. I think we got them all now.
Yeah, we got it. Okay, so this week, people were on screen doing things together, and... They fought on a staircase at one point. That definitely happened.
That is true. So the Geodra episode was basically like two plots going on at the same time. One was actually a Geodra plot. Oh my god, Bella, I'm gonna kick you so hard. You don't even know.
I know.
You don't know. Well, you might know.
Cat knows.
Cat knows how hard I will kick Bella. Scoop her up and take her somewhere. Far away for forever. Anyway. The base Geodra plot was this thing where the... I don't really know names yet. The other... like the other dude that's playing the blood game, not the blocky dude, not Azold or whoever, the other guy.
Assholes.
Assholes. The other guy, he like didn't even pick like a player. He just like went down himself with this like machine. It was basically the same gun that Major's using to kidnap the zombies. And he like stabs Amu with it and like absorbs her stuff. Okay. Like she just goes into the gun, and then he uses it on an amoeba.
Amiibo.
He uses it on an amiibo, and like the gives the amiibo. I'm just gonna call them amiibos from now on. Gives it like Amu's head, and it's all like mind controlled and stuff. Whatever. And so Tusk is over here doing his Tusk shit, and they were like complaining about her not doing George.
Power Rangers Dino George.
Dino George. But yeah, that was a thing.
I remember, like I said, I remember imagery. I remember the stairs, and that pink or white or whatever color she is looked like a Saiyan or like one of Frieza's people when she wore like their evil outfits with her tiger head.
Yeah, they do look like that.
Like, I never saw it because of how disfigured their faces are, but when I saw her in it with her like tiger face, it reminds me of like all the weird looking like Frieza minions. And there's some other image I remember. Oh, they brought in a fucking Shocker monster. Shocker is the worst thing to ever happen to humanity.
That was the second plot. Like, the second plot, I feel like they had this idea for the episode, like, the entire time. And then they're like, oh, this episode's gonna fall on that shoehorned in crossover. Like, okay, we need to truncate this episode. Red, blue, and yellow will be over here dealing with this Shocker dude so we can bring in Ghost so it can be a crossover. But meanwhile, we'll just be over here focusing on this Tusk and Amu story that we got going on, which, like, ignoring the actual crossover bits, like, the story with Tusk and Amu was actually done really well in, like, the emotions actually, like, were portrayed well. It wasn't like some Sentai episodes where it's like, this is supposed to be, like, an emotional scene, but it just really isn't.
Yeah, and they're just telling you about it.
Yeah, so, like, that was done really well, and I liked that a lot. But I could totally just do without the crossover part. It gave us Geo Wild with Gorilla, Shark, and Lion, and, I mean, that was what it was. It was just cool to see Geo Wild because I really like it. But, I mean, other than that, it kind of was just whatever it was, like... I felt bad because I liked the base story. It was just, it got kind of shafted for about 5 to 10 minutes because they needed to do the stupid crossover thing.
Well, now I feel bad because I thought it was just the crossover. I just decided to earshot it. Like, if it's on near me, it's watched. Like, I count it. Like, I have, like, this completionist thing, but, like, when it comes to Toku, like, I legitimately feel content if it played when I was nearby. Like, even if I'm, like, turned around watching How I Met Your Mother, I'm like, I watched it. How do you think I got through G-Ranger?
That's just true.
Or some of the Lightspeed Rescue rewatches. You just put it on the iPad, and then you watch Monk. That's how you do it.
But, yeah, like, the episode itself wasn't bad, but, the crossover part was just so... so shoehorned. It was like it's the same case with the Ghost episode too. Like the crossover bits just did not need to be there, and all they did was, I don't want to say hurt the main story of the episodes, but it just, like, it was so off-putting. Like, it was just randomly kind of just tossed there. In there, and they had no relevance to the actual episode either. It was just,
like, from what I remember about some of the previous ones is that they were at least a little bit more enjoyable than some of the superhero Tyson movies. But I feel like if in certain cases, if the plot is, like, not lending itself towards this, what they should just do is table the story for a week and, you know, just make the crossover like an hour of something that doesn't have to be about anything that's like directly happening in JoJo or Ghost at the same time, like a non-canon thing, you know what I mean? Kind of like how at the beginning of all the old Sentai crossovers, they say, like, these are two teams that should never have met. And I don't know, just, like, make it so that you can come up with a story for these two teams to connect, and you don't have to tie it into what's happening right now on JoJo. You don't have to tie it what's happening right now on Ghost, and you can just have freedom and then pick up where you left off. Like, the continuity on Toku is so fucked up in the last few years, because it's like everything is in the same universe, but it's also not at the same time. And it's... And it's not quite as painful as when Gaim was around, but still, there's been some awkward times, and it makes it awkward when you're trying to fit the crossover into an actual plot that's happening. So, we have much better crossovers to talk about coming up soon.
Yeah, I know.
This one didn't even have ice cream. 0 out of 10.
It was funny, because like, this one happened, and Batman vs. Superman premiered, and then Supergirl... On Monday, it was like, this was just, like, the weekend of crossovers.
Yeah.
One was awful.
It was clearly
Batman. No, it wasn't Batman versus Superman. God damn it, everyone, shut the fuck up.
Toku, it sucks because it's bad. See, there it works for that.
Like, I don't really got a whole lot else to say about the JoJo episode.
Obviously, I don't. I don't have anything to say about either of them.
Bouncing over to the Ghost episode, I don't got a whole lot of positive to say, period, about this one. In terms of plot progression, the whole episode was basically the Goemon icon inhabiting Onari's body to try to convince Takeru that it was okay to work with Alan to try to get Makoto's body back from the Gamma World. That was the entirety of the episode, surrounded by another shocker monster and
fucking another shocker.
Shoehorned batter? Wow, I'm awful. Shoehorned in battle with Geo Eagle.
The butter batter book.
He just happened to be there. It's like, oh, Geo Eagle, what are you doing here? It's like, I was just here, but I'm glad I was, because now I can repay you for helping me earlier. Let's flip.
Just do my little eagle shit.
That was like cat. That wasn't an eagle. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't do the high-pitched eagle squeaky noise that they do. But... that was a thing. They used the sunglass slasher and the Geo Buster sword mode. Like, at the same time, they looked at him and they're like,
oh my god!
Look how similar they are.
They put the swords next to each other? So exciting.
Yeah, they put the swords next to each other. It was great.
Shallow sword fapping.
And then I realized that they were very similar to each other, and I was like, whoa, that's... Good job, Toei.
Was Goemon's personality at least kind of fun?
I think it was kind of true to how, like, Kabuki-style performances are.
Kabuki!
I found it kind of obnoxious. It was basically just Onari, to tell you the honest truth. It was basically if Onari was trying to be a Kabuki performer, that was essentially what Goemon's entire performance was.
I liked it
conceptually, because it was the same thing I really liked about the Ryoma episodes.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
But, with one, with it being Onari, and two, with Goemon being like a Sengoku era, kind of over the top, like Kabuki performance sort of thing, it was just kind of a lot of like weirdly toned voices and stuff like that, but it wasn't bad, because it's essentially what it's supposed to be, so I don't really want to knock it for that, because it did a good job of like giving you what it was supposed to be, but it wasn't that fun to me.
Because I was wondering, because I do remember that from the preview from last week, thinking that it could end up being interesting, because I really did like when Ryoma was inhabiting people.
Onari was a lot more helpful than he normally is, though, so there was that.
That's good. She's gonna have someone else being in him.
Mostly because it wasn't Onari, it was Goemon.
Look, when you're not yourself, you're really helpful.
he made up this story, like this, like Japanese thief, like had the word for like rat in his name, and they kept thinking that the porcupine monster was a rat at first, and so like he made up this story about how, like the rat thief, was like his arch rival, but they put their differences aside to work together at one point because he was trying to get Takeru to work with Alon. And then Takeru, they were like on a carousel for whatever reason, because they were in an amusement park. And Takeru's like, you know, I think he's lying. Goemon was in the Sengoku era, and this thief guy was part of the Edo era. Yeah. So, you know, I think he's lying. And he popped into Onari again and was like, yeah, I just made that up so you would just get your act together.
Get your crap together, India. Schmidt out. Stuff her over there at a table with Nick. What's funny about that is like 95% of the people in that room didn't know who Nick was.
Talking to her, get your shit together. Goemon out.
Oh, Calcut a bitch. Hey, I'm Mike Shyamalan. Here's a plot twist for you. Shut up. Oh, God. So good. But, like, rewinding real quick, like, the whole rat thing reminded me of the famous Jet Jackson movie when Silverstone was in Jet's world and he kept seeing the actor that plays the rat and he kept tackling him. I had to bring that up. He'd be like, rat! And then he'd just tackle him while he's eating a sandwich. Man, that guy dead. That's sad. I liked that movie. Good times. Jack, he was so famous. You know?
That's why it was called that.
Exactly. Like, it was so perfect. Okay.
And, like I said, that's about it for that, too. Again, the base plot was okay, but the... Like, the fact that the entire episode, like, there was no Ganma in the episode. It was just that Shocker dude. And at one point, there was a clip randomly thrown in this episode. It was only, like, a 15-second clip. It was so fucking pointless. It just said, in another country. And it showed, like, buff Ichigo punching some Shocker soldiers on a rooftop at night. And, like, they called him something. He's like, that's Kamen Rider Ichigo to you. Punch, punch, and then it, like, cut.
Back and then the Ichigo toppled over because he's not used to his own weight yet, and he just tumbled down the building.
It was so fucking random. Like, Ichigo, like, didn't even interact with anyone. It was just this 15-second clip of him on a dark rooftop fighting people.
Oh, man.
It wasn't even an ad. It was just in the episode.
It just happened for no reason. I want that to happen, like, randomly for no reason in other things. Like, all of a sudden, in an episode of Ghost, just randomly says, in another country, it's just Ichigo punching someone in an alleyway. Ichigo punching someone on a street corner. It's Ichigo to you.
What country is Ichigo in?
Another one. He's in country A. Country A, remember? That's my favorite country from Dan Bolsenki.
Country
not America.
It's clearly not America. America.
My dad is Amon? Why wasn't Tyler's dad just Amon? I mean, come on.
Would have been more fun, to be honest.
Come on. It's like Amon. There's something there. Hashtag puns.
So speaking of Tyler.
So yes. The epic mid-season finale of Dino Supercharge. Which, I actually enjoyed this episode, honestly.
Me too!
You know, I was expecting...
It was stupid filler, but it was, like, fun stupid filler. The comedy was actually good.
Yeah, like, I was ready to hate this. Like, I was like, I hated the Coda episode. This is supposed to be the last episode before the hiatus, and it's about one of my least favorite characters and a dumb plot. But then, like, I liked Ivan in this episode. He was hilarious.
I love how smug he was at the beginning about the coat of arms or coat of. It was the suit of honor, is what it was, and it always sounded like it said armor, and I'm like, dude, bro, that's not armor. But, no, it was honor, apparently. But anyhow, like, I just love how smug he was at the beginning.
In the bank robbing scene? Oh, God, that was just fantastic. And my favorite part, hands down, though, is when he was going to pledge his loyalty to that guy, and then he said, but with every second Sunday off? Like, that was just really funny. Like, he's trying to save the situation, pledges his lifelong service, but then asks for Sundays off.
Ivan humor was on point this episode. Like, it's been really hit and miss throughout the season, but it was just on point this episode. Yeah, it was, like, between the intro conversation between him and Kendall about the suit, and then, like, the bank and trying to rectify the situation, it was just really good.
Lannister always pays his debts and all that.
Prince Philip, his ball and ass just walks in.
I was disappointed he wasn't in it more. Like, he's so underused. Like, he pops up for, like, 4-second cameos. Somewhere in another country, Prince Philip punching someone on a rooftop. It's Prince Philip to you, peasant! That was a punch. Damn it. Punching sound effects on point. Not as nearly as good as my blue bark, but it was pretty on point. I can't even do it anymore. It's too much pressure. And one thing that was, like, also kind of funny was, it wasn't as funny as Ivan's stuff, but the facial expressions that Tyler and Chase were making when they were under the spell were kind of funny. You know, something that was kind of refreshing is I saw a couple people, certain people that I know were complaining about it, but I thought it was refreshing that the Rangers actually wanted to use the gold. Like, why the fuck not? I love that they weren't goody-two-shoes about it. Like, this is MNPR, like, no, we have to do the right thing and donate it to kids or not use it. And they're like, well, let's do this. Let's get ourselves out of this shit. I'm like, fuck yeah, let's do it. Like, fuck the youths at the youth center. Just walk into the youth center. Youths center. But, like, I liked that. Like, it's annoying when they're too much of a, like, goody-two-shoes, and I think that, I mean, that money wasn't stolen from anybody, and they were in a sticky situation. So it's like, why the hell not? I thought that was cool. Fuck yeah, crime.
Fuck yeah, crime.
Well, but it's like, it's funny, because this is the network that tells you to beat up bullies with a butter sock when they're mean to you. I mean, that's what you do. You the bully. I'll talk to him about his issues. No, get a butter sock and send Sam after him.
Oh, I missed that show.
Jade's solution was just to come out with everyone with scissors. This network allows for this.
Oh, I missed all
they had so shows. Many marijuana metaphors. That, you know, just like, they had so many things. And, but yeah. Like, it wasn't an amazing mid-season finale or anything too revealing, but it was a pretty fun episode, one of the more fun ones of the season. We did get a little of
Singe.
Yes, thank you. FaceTiming with somebody. Now,
it was his grandma.
No, it was Jake from State Farm. Can't you see the hat? You called
your grandma, sir. Yeah.
It was Mrs. Nesbitt. But I think speaking of George's recap, I think he said he thought it was Sledge, but I thought it was going to be like whoever Dayboss is, or not Dayboss.
I'm
that guy with the castle face.
Chaos.
Yes.
I just don't see it being Sledge for the pure reason that, like, you said, yeah, Heckle's here on Earth, and, like, wouldn't Sledge still be on Earth, too? Like,
yeah, and I mean, Sledge not, knew not that like Heckle Earth was too, on Earth, but he kidnapped him.
Yeah.
Whatever. He heckle-napped him. What I find funny about that is that who the fuck still knows that any of these people exist? Aliens must live forever. Like, I know that this is PR, and, like, we obviously don't know how the rules exist, and there's some logic and leaps, and, you know, it is a little bit easier to assume that these aliens could live longer, but it's not like even 10,000 years seems like nothing compared to, like, the millions of years that they've been there. It's like, I can't imagine anyone remembers any of the people on the ship, who Heckle is, and I want to know who the hell remembers these people.
Heckle's here on Earth, and he's looking for the energems. Who dat?
So, like, that's just funny to me that, like, and how do they, who feeds them? I mean, who feeds Slade? Who feeds everyone? But yeah, like I said, I know it's PR, but sometimes you gotta question stuff like that. Like, obviously, it's probably going to tie to something, but it's just kind of crazy how long it's been, and that anybody would know them. Like, it would be funny if, like, Sledge was like, "Oh, I got this bounty, or I got these energems," and people, like you said, people were like, "Who dat? The hell's an energem? Looking for a quasar saber."
I can buy energems at my local Walmart.
They advertise them. I don't need a vitamin boost or whatever the hell they're supposed to be for. I don't remember what the commercial said. But yeah, that's pretty much it. There wasn't too much else that I recall.
I'm glad we're going into the hiatus on our episode. That was fun.
Yeah, so it kind of leaves you with, like, a better taste in your mouth.
A little bit of better spirits than...
Yeah.
Basically Baseball. Any of the other episodes.
Yeah. Like, the only two I really liked this season was this one and the Chase episode, because I liked the girl because she was hot, and I liked Chase, and I thought it was kind of a fun episode. But, like, everything else has been either really bad filler or, like, a plot episode that felt like filler and dad.
Dad.
And, like... Like, I think we said last week, I'm looking forward to seeing the spoilers to see if there's anything worthwhile in this back half.
Yeah.
We shall see. Until then, we can stalk people from the movie cast, and we can stalk people that probably aren't even going to end up in Ninja Steel. Like, that's how bored we are, apparently.
Good times.
Okay, now it's time for...
Ramble, ramble, ramble time.
I also forgot I didn't watch Pokemon, so that's another thing I forgot. It's all my DVR.
I forgot too.
So, okay, good. Really forgetful this week.
What was this one about? Was this the one where... I think this might have been the one where Greninja or Froggy evolved.
Oh, really?
I
almost thought you said where Foggy evolved. I'm like, from Daredevil?
I think so. If not, next episode. Next episode is when he gets Ash Greninja. So.
Okay. Cool, cool. Still waiting on that 16 member. But yeah, so without that, we get to talk about the majesty that was Supergirl and Flash's crossover.
Oh my god, it was so just fun. Okay.
If you were to take Joy and make it into a television show, it wouldn't have been this enjoyable. It's like, it was more joyous than Joy. Like, it was just happiness.
The purest form of happiness is Kara's face when she got ice cream.
Exactly. Like, the way she said yes, it was just, oh man, like... I don't know. Like, the only really bad thing about this episode was just probably the villains, even though I did like Siobhan's evil look. But everything else was just so great. Like, they interacted together so well, and I think it was the right choice to have Flash be the first one to meet her out of any of the CW-verse people, because they are much more upbeat heroes. Oliver probably would have screamed at Kara and made her cry like he did to poor Curtis. This is a serious job. How dare you smile? Fuck everything. Like, I'm Oliver Queen. That's what he said when he walked away. Just, I'm Oliver Queen.
Queen out.
Get your crap together, Kara. But yeah, so I think that was a great choice. Not to mention they're both, you know, have actual powers. No offense, Ollie. Love you, dog. but like, I would still love to see all of them interact. Like I said before we started, like all of this isn't about like the stuff I hate about team ups in like Toku or other things where they're like, oh, I can't wait to see so and so fight, or man, they're all lined up. It's like when you know that these two characters or any characters you know have these great personalities, you want to see them bounce off of each other, which is like why I'm dying to see Sisko interact with her and like bounce off of her, because the way Sisko interacts, or I think I was talking to George, I don't know if it was on Twitter or not, but like Diggle's, the look on Diggle's face when he would see Kara or Martian Manhunter would be worth the price of any emission.
I feel like Sisko, Caitlyn, and Wynn would just have a big nerd fest.
Oh god, it would be amazing. I would love to see like a scene with Kat and Sisko where they're like trying to name something, because Sisko's clearly the champ at it, and I think that would be great. Like, I loved the scene in there where Barry was pushing for the name The Flash, and like she just looks at him and he goes, I see that talking was a mistake now. Like, oh god, it was so good. Like, there's just so many funny and just like enjoyable moments like that. Or Barry's from a different universe and James is like, what? And Wynn's just like, cool. and like him explaining Wynn, the multiverse.
Wynn in this episode was actually more enjoyable than he is most of the time. Like, yeah, having an additional nerdy person to bounce off of makes nerdy characters more fun.
Yeah.
So, like, Sisko has Caitlyn, and it works great, and then here he got to interact with Barry, and it worked really well.
Yeah. Like, I'll admit, recently, Wynn has been growing on me. Like, I made a lot of comments about him being a creeper-looking guy in the beginning, which I still stand by. But, like, he kind of had to come into his own in terms of me warming up to him, but yeah, I definitely agree about that. He got to be a little bit more natural, I guess. For that, which was good. There was some amusing bits to it, but I think I could have gone without the James jealousy stuff.
Yeah. Like, I feel like most of this episode was made well beforehand, and then they finally got the clearance to do a team-up, and this was the best episode they had to work with.
Yeah.
Because there's only two episodes left, so they had to like push the whole things with James, and they had to wrap up Siobhan's story, and Livewire was kind of whatever, but
yeah.
So they had to do all these things, and then with adding the element of the crossover, they're like they just kind of had to shove everything together and make it work the best they could.
And all things considered, they did it pretty well, and. It's not like that's not... That was like such a double negative. It's not like that's how it wouldn't have happened anyway, like in quote-unquote real life, where his appearance wouldn't stop everything that was going on, so he was just there to help. So it was kind of realistic in that way. As realistic as all this is. But yeah, it still worked fine. Like, it's kind of unfortunate that like the timeline didn't line up in terms of like when they air, but it kind of makes sense since they're on different network and different start dates and end dates and all that stuff. Like,
yeah,
like the Flash that we saw this week took place before it, but like Barry's been super busy time traveling a year ago and then hopping dimensions. And I loved him explaining all the Earth stuff. And it was interesting that he looked up like Central City.
What if there was an Earth where we were all evil? Been there, it sucked.
I thought it was interesting that he didn't find like Caitlyn or Sisko or anybody's names.
Yeah.
But there like Central City obviously though. Exists. Yeah. That reminds me of in the pre-show we were just talking about, like in interviews they said they'd love to have like Arrow, Flash, and Supergirl, and have maybe something with Legends because they can go anywhere. But they also mentioned that there's talk of like having some of the Flareoverse doppelgangers on Supergirl, like, you know, that would be cool. Or, like, vice versa. I think that would be neat. Like, even if it was just, like, some sort of random mundane cameo. Like, maybe they're not always a villain. I just think that's neat little Easter egg-y stuff to have. We could maybe finally get Mayor Snart. Who knows? The third version of Mayor Snart. But that would be... That would be just neat little things like that would be cool, because they're not even really crossovers, they're just neat multiverse things. So that would be cool.
The cat's line about them looking like a cast of a CW show killed me.
Yeah, that was great. I love meta humor like that. That was good. Oh, the racially diverse cast of a CW show. I like how quickly she figured it out, and then I was so dumb. I was thinking, well, wouldn't Kara hanging around with the Flash be suspicious then? But then I remembered her story was that the Flash saved her, which was true.
Yeah.
Oh god, you know the episode was going to be amazing when it started with him hesitant to put out the fire on her chest because he didn't want to accidentally touch her boobs.
Yes.
Like, that was like the most Barry thing that could have happened. One of my favorite parts was when, well, first of all, I love that he used the technology from when they fought Pied Piper, which is really funny considering they just had him in that episode. I just realized that. Yeah. But anyway, like, I loved that. But my favorite part was when he said, like, put one of these bad boys in, and then he said, sorry, I keep saying bad boys. I love Barry so much.
Barry makes everything better. Like...
Like, all their interaction basically summed up that comment that I saw on YouTube, which is, the cutest puppy in the world is going to meet the other cutest puppy in the world. That was this episode.
It was.
Oh, God. It was just, like, lines like that. Like, they're
so good together. Like, the two of them.
Yeah, like, I definitely want them to try to do this again.
Like, it's like, not like... It's such a great chemistry, and it's not like a romantic chemistry or anything. It's just... There's so many good moments because of their personalities.
Yeah. And, like, he got to sort of play a mentory role in terms of, you know, helping her through her struggle because he's been doing it longer. And also, I totally forgot about when he went crazy in season one when he attacked Eddie.
Yeah.
And, like, I forgot about that because I was thinking how they should have embellished that speedster framing him a bit more to reinforce the storyline here, but then I remembered he already went through a storyline like that when he mentioned it. I was like, I totally forgot about that. So, like, that was kind of neat. And I love the score. Like, I got chills as soon as when Kara fell out the window and he rescued her and you hear the Flash soundtrack.
Yeah, I know. Like I'm not one to recognize background music at all, but I picked up on that and I was like, that's great.
Yeah, I'm glad they could use it. Like, you never know. Sometimes these can go, like, whether they could have used it. And, like, I was wondering how much they were going to mention directly. And they mentioned quite a bit. Like, in the first scene, he, like, name-dropped practically every Flareoverse hero.
Green Arrow, Adam, so. Black Canary, Zoom.
So, yeah, like, it's funny because of stuff like that. And then it's just totally random, but, like... In the very early days of Vampire Diaries and the originals, that's a fucking spinoff, and they tiptoed around it as if they couldn't say anything. It was really weird. I'm like, you spun off of each other, and you act like you're going to get fired if you say something. So I was wondering, like, exactly how much they were going to be able to do, but I love that they could, you know, have the music. And they obviously didn't have time to do a full-on mix, like Flash and Arrow had, like, their own soundtrack with, like, was like a mix of both. But if they do something again next time, that would be really neat to get.
So yeah, I need to digest 10,000 calories.
The donuts.
He's like donuts. So, he doesn't like donuts.
You have donuts on this earth, right? He didn't say that, but, like, that would be a question.
There was one line like that. I forgot what it was for.
Three Musketeers, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That one? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they both have Mariah Carey, and, but, yeah, it was just, it was so much fun, like, such a good way to start the week off. I really hope that, we get a little mention of it when the timeline lines up, like I said a couple times, just to see the reactions from everyone else. I don't know if they'll dub it Earth 3 or whatever, but we'll see, but, it's just neat. Now we're just gonna sit here in silence and just appreciate it. It's absolute silence while I fall into character. No, but seriously, so much fun. Like, if Supergirl doesn't get renewed, Sweetums is gonna move to Mexico, so, because otherwise we won't be able to have one of these again.
That'd be so bad. God.
If Sweetums moved to Mexico, I know. Yeah. They provide all the jobs here in Pawnee. it was a little disappointing that, like, Alex and John weren't around for it.
I'm kind of upset that John wasn't mentioned at all.
Yeah. Because I really would love to see... I don't think Barry would have been full Diggle, but, like, just his reaction to seeing something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if we do another one, I hope that... like, because, like, I guess Alex is whatever. Like, don't get me wrong, I like Little Gray, but, I mean, in terms of interaction, Martian Manhunter would have just been a cooler thing to have there.
Odd, upbeat response to the fact that she had a sister.
He's like, oh, you have a sister? You didn't tell me that? Look at us learning so many things about each other. I love how quickly, like, they're just accepting... okay, of him in the base. Like, he zoomed around their base, and they're like, who is this? He's like, it's Barry Allen, he's here to help. Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's okay. Like, oh, and Lucy, she took off her hat, and she looks all fine. Like, I mean, like, you know, like, normal, but also, like, fine, but, like, both. But still, it's like, thank God. Otherwise, Barry was just gonna, like, zoom past her and take off the hat. Whoops. Don't know who did that.
We have a strict policy against outsiders in the DEO. Is Barry Allen here to help? Well, okay. We need help, so, you know, it's cool.
What was the scene with... shit, was it... oh, it was about Electro. He's like, oh, we have a rogue like that. It's called... she's called Blackout, or he's called Blackout. He's like, oh, not the time for that. But just... like, I'm definitely going to try to rewatch it soon, just because there's so many little things you might not pick up on, too, that you forgot or missed or whatever. But, yeah, it was basically everything I was hoping for and more. Oh, but I guess the only other thing I wanted to mention was, like, it was more in reference to the Supergirl plot, is that the city did forgive her when they, like, rallied around her, which it is kind of soonish, but I still really liked the scene because it reminded me of Spider-Man 2 when all the people on the train were, like, sticking up for him.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought that was a good scene. I think they could have extended the story maybe one more episode and still had that, but it was still neat. And I did think it was a little bit disappointing that, like, Barry didn't help more out in the final fight, and it was like a fireman that took him out. Like, it reminded me of
Amazing... went on the roof and then vanished for a while.
He went to go get more donuts. He's like, damn, Earth 3 Duncan is off the chain.
It's like every donut is Krispy Kreme.
So I was just a little bit disappointed by that in terms of, like, the final fight or whatever. And, like, also, like, oddly enough, that spraying her with water reminded me of... have you seen Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like, because there was that scene where he sprayed Electro with a fire hose.
Yeah.
I mentioned this on Twitter, but it's funny how, like, this storyline bookended with... like, this scene at the end reminded me of Spider-Man 2, but, like, the scene that started this storyline with Kara being under scrutiny, where she helped that little girl, reminded me of the scene in Amazing Spider-Man 2 where this kid was getting picked on with a science project and Spider-Man swooped down to help him. I just thought that was kind of funny. They care about the Spider-Man fandom! But, yeah, I think that's all I have to say about this until we talk about... now, should we move on from Flash to Flash?
Sounds about right.
We basically got two Flash episodes this week. It was amazing.
It was great. We were a Flash cameo and Arrow away from, like, the Grant Gustin trifecta.
Oh, that would have been amazing. The Grant Gustin trilogy. That's the infomercial that'll outsell Shirley Temple for sure. But it's fitting, since we're now going to be without him for, like, 3 weeks, so, like, what the hell, man? God. 3 weeks from tonight. No, you mean 3 minutes. We're going to show the next episode now? Next episode when? this was a fantastic...
How do we time travel again? Because I kind of need this now.
It's my Flash, and I need it now. Called... J.G. Wentworth, 877 Flash Now! 877 Flash Now!
Oh my god.
But this episode was fantastic. The MVP of the episode was Tom Cavanaugh, for sure.
Tom Cavanaugh is like almost always the MVP. What a fine man. But
I just squeaked. Because we know that his performances as both Wells / Eobard are great, and you know their difference, but like getting to essentially see them side by side really highlighted it.
Mm-hmm.
Like seeing him play Eobard Wells and like the way he carries himself in both is so different that it's fantastic. And I love that Harry finally blew up and said what I keep saying, where he said, "The guy's not Wells, god damn it." Which is true, because
he's
like,
not Wells. I'm Wells.
I'm Wells. Can't you see the hat? I'm wearing my Searching for Jesse hat, for God's sake. You know I'm going on an adventure because I put on my baseball cap. That's when I'm on Adventure Time, and I take the hat off in a serious time. Just
I got a backpack and a hat. Come on, guys. Like,
there's not even anything in the backpack. I'm just showing you I'm serious about the adventuring. I love that he said that because all season, they will make assumptions either way about Wells, and it's like, they never knew the real Earth One Wells, who was a totally normal dude.
He seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah. Earth One Wells, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy, maybe.
He might have been. We don't know. He got killed too early. He liked the beach. That's all we know about him. He was on a beach before he got murdered. But yeah, anyway, getting to see them both in the same episode, and just getting to see that version of Wells again, and or Eobard, because like the other guy's fine, but like when he came back as Reverse Flash, I was missing Tom Cavanaugh's, because he just brought something to it. And one of the most fascinating things about his Reverse Flash is that his chemistry and like relationship with Barry, that makes the villain more interesting than, oh, I hate you because reasons. I love like his evil plot is to go home. He's basically Glory, which is funny. But like, because like in that scene he was like, I don't get to go home? Is that what you're telling me? I'm never going to get to see Mittens again? She probably needs to be fed. She hasn't been fed in like 15 years, but time travel, you know? Like, he was like freaking out. He's like, no, you won. But I came back here because you won so hard. I wanted to high five you and like learn speaking. And he's like, "All right, I believe
you. You tricked me. You won. You got to go home. But you know, life goes on. You didn't kill me
because we're sort of like tight like that. We're like BFFF. You know we are. Like, I love how quickly he believed him. He's like, "No, don't do the hand thing. That traumatized the fuck out of Cisco. I love how Cisco and like old." Dur Cisco in this episode said, like, why do you guys think I can just know things? I don't have ESP.
Well, give it time, buddy.
But yeah, everything about Wells was fantastic. Just getting to see that again, and like the dynamic of that, with Barry knowing them both being a bit more experienced. And, you know, even it was a little bit more subtle, but there wasn't a really solid difference between Grant's performance as season 2 and season 1 Barry. Like, there's this sort of weight on current Barry's shoulders that isn't there on season 1 Barry's shoulders. You can just sort of tell, which is, well, that's kind of like how it's not so much as noticeable now, but, like, Stephen Amell did a fantastic job of differentiating like the tone of voice and the body language and demeanor and everything of like young Ollie and present day Ollie. But now they're like the same person.
Yeah.
Like the haircut did it. Haircuts don't lie. But yeah, just even that, like he did a good job with that. And it was interesting to see, like, it's only been like a year, but like how much has changed in the show and with the way the characters are. It was really neat. It's funny that like we have these really cool larger things like going to Earth 2 and Earth 3 and the future and all that, these possibilities, but like it's just as interesting to do the smaller jump and to see like the storyline from last year and where everyone was, and like, Eddie,
it was so weird to see up. All that again.
And like Eddie and like Barry's just like walking up to him, slowly stroking his face, like, what are you doing, Barry? Like, Eddie, like sobbing. Barry, okay.
I need you to record a video for Iris's birthday. That's in 2 months. I'll do it another. No, I need it now, and you need to talk like you're never gonna see her again.
What would you say to her if you were going to die right now? Now, if you could just say into the camera, move on.
Kill me.
Just tell her like that. You know, if you died, that you want her to move on. You know. Just, you know, that's typical birthday stuff. You know, everyone always says that on your birthday, like, happy birthday, get on with your life if I die. Like, you know, that's what I always say to my friends. But still, that was neat. And, like, I heard that...
It was a nice thing for him to do, too, so...
Yeah, it was. And I guess because she knows about everything, I'm surprised he didn't tell her, like, how he got it. But I guess it really doesn't matter either way. Like, what if like Eddie was like, wait a minute, it's the iPhone 6S, that's not even out yet.
I thought about that.
Like, you know, I know a guy.
They were using 6s, or 6s's, I mean, they look physically the same. I was like, wait, were those a thing when this was on? They were. I don't know why I put so much thought into it, but...
But it would still have been a funny way to like get caught. And, like, I just like the idea that like the phone's time traveling with them. I don't know. It's just funny.
Dude, is that a custom iPhone?
Yeah, I just, you know, I bought it online, eBay, you know, from the future. Future Bay. I don't know. Stop asking me so many questions.
Factory link from China. They stole the Chinese people.
The Chinese kids get the Transformers things for everybody. Oh, man. But yeah, so that was neat, because they probably eventually said like what it was in reference to, but I just heard like a really quick, you know, like tweet a long time ago that he was going to be back for an episode this season, and I was like, I wonder how they're going to do that. So like, I'm glad that it was that way and it wasn't some, oh, Eddie's back, even though they might do that someday, you never know. But still, it was neat to see that. He did change the timeline because Pied Piper is now like an ally.
Yeah, he's a good guy now.
It's like traveling back to the future and finding out Neville is your friend, because he's basically grown up Neville. That's the way I see him. He's just like, you know, Tapenade, you'll rue the day. That's his character.
That's Hartley. Just Neville.
Exactly.
Like, I thought it was hilarious that they're like, okay, Barry, you can't fuck with the timeline at all. You gotta get there, have your conversation, and get out. Don't mess with anything. We prepped this board. Here's everything that you should know. Don't say anything that's not on this board. Okay. Goes back in time. Check his ears. And let's see. He knows where, Ronnie is, and oh look, there's two of us. I fucked nothing like up.
I did it perfectly, didn't even know,
nailed it.
Well, it's also funny because it's like, all right, be extra careful, don't mess it up. First thing he does is beats himself up. Like, he couldn't have done that more stealthy. Like, even if he hadn't mentioned the ear implants or Ronnie or fucked anything else up, his younger self would have remembered him getting beaten up.
It wakes up, man, I just had the weirdest hallucination.
And, like, why would he put his emblem on older Barry? That's so weird, because older is like,
yeah,
older.
It's like, he had nowhere, you know, else, I mean, to put it.
Well, like...
Though,
I don't know.
I'm curious. I think he was just bluffing. But when he told Eobard Wells about the hidden letter and that,
oh yeah,
current Barry would know everything, I'm wondering if there was something in the emblem.
It could have been. That's true.
Or he was just he was just flat out talking out of his ass. That's a possibility too. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I could think of why he would change the emblems.
Like, because obviously he would put the old one on so that he could fit in, but, you know, It seemed like, unless that he did put something in there, it just seemed like an unnecessary complication. And I love that, like, that was brought up again. Like, are we going to change it because we saw it? But, like, that already happened because they saw it in the time vault.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to talk about that scene of Sisko and using, like, watching a Star Trek movie with Barry. And, like, you're like, imposter! But then he answers the question right, imposter! And, like, oh, and when Sisko says doppelganger, and Barry goes, not yet.
No, not yet. Doppelgangers. Oh, God, that was... No, not yet.
Oh, that was so good. And, like, the expressions on Sisko's face, I'm like, damn it, Sisko, you're just, like, the best human around.
The writers on this show are just fucking top-notch.
It was just, it was so fantastic.
Like, no detail is left, like, in the air or spared. And the smallest damn thing from, like, a season ago can be brought up and is now relevant again for whatever reason. Like, it's fantastic.
And, we did get that Reaper thingy too in this episode. The Dementors. They call them Time Wraith.
Yeah. It was funny because the preview happened and everyone's like, "Dude, they're like Dementors," and then they made a Dementor joke on the show.
Yeah, and then of course you have Hartley over here looking like Harry Potter, so it all connected. It all connected. Yeah, there's some people saying that, like, no more stuff, that we're expecting it to be, like, one of the Black Flashes or something. I don't know if the time rates are looked... kind of... They look, the face really kind of looked like a speedster mask.
Yeah, the face definitely looked like a speedster mask. So I think it's kind of, like, maybe a little bit of an offshoot of the Black Flashes, maybe.
Who knows? You never know, because they basically have been splitting characters and everything, so they might have another plan for that, too. So, yeah... And I think, like, Zoom, part of Zoom's design reminds me of it. Just, like, like the monstrousness of it. Our Zoom. Like, there's so many, it's just so... there was something else I was going to mention, too, that I don't know. But we don't know, also, if, like, the only change we know of right now is Pied Piper, but there could be more, you never know.
Yeah.
That we don't know about yet. But that's always interesting. Timelines changed like that. It's kind of like Days of Future Past, where it's like only one character in the audience remember the original timeline. Like, I'm curious if anything else will have gotten changed. I love the part where Sisko said, when they were talking about him impersonating himself, he's like, "Oh, he can do it. You should see this guy impersonating himself on Earth too. Hand this guy an Oscar." When really he actually didn't do that great of a job. He just kind of stumbled through other Barry's life. Especially consider, like, other Barry's mannerisms. Hey, listen here, fellas.
Earth 2 Barry.
The amount of things this show's gotten to do in two seasons is crazy.
I know, like, the second season isn't even done yet, and... we've already done, like, time travel and timeline manipulation and alternate dimensions already. Like, it's crazy to think of where we could be in, like, another season or two.
Yeah. And it's funny because it's such a normal thing now that I forgot that Barry didn't know he could time travel at the point of the episode that they went back to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like... because I couldn't remember how early Barry discovered at least time travel was a possibility, because once we discovered it, like, we literally hit the ground running in terms of time travel and dimensions, like you said, and it's... I'm like, oh, I forgot that he didn't know about that. Like, there was... it's such an innocent time.
I don't think he learned about time travel until that Weather Wizard episode.
Yeah. But it's like, you kind of forget that there was a more innocent time of the Flash. I mean... maybe the only first few episodes were more episode of the week, but after that, the plots, even when the plot started rolling, it was still a little bit before we learned about that, but
yeah,
still neat.
One thing that I read, that, like, one of the original drafts of the show had Hartley as a good guy and, like, part of the team.
Oh, like, and, as a regular character?
Yeah, and they kind of phased him out to give more roles for Sisko instead. And So, like, I feel like this episode was a way for them to get back what they wanted with Hartley being a good guy.
Yeah, like, I don't think he'll be around, like, a lot, but it's still, it's kind of a neat little change. Yeah, because I guess that does kind of make sense, at least in terms of, like, unexpected things, because I remember people being like, well, Caitlin's going to be part of their team, isn't she a villain, and stuff like that, and obviously at the time, I didn't know much about that. But, yeah, like, and who knows how many more changes like that could happen over the course of the series, like whenever he time travels and stuff like that. And I forgot that this really was the first time he did it on purpose, because for some reason I thought he did it on purpose in the last Flareo crossover, but it was an accident. But, like, you know, after he did it, obviously everything he did after that was with purpose. Like, but I guess it's just because, you know, he was trying to outrun the blast and it was sort of accidental. But I forgot about that it wasn't like he didn't really know what he was doing at the time. But anything else to say? Speaking of not knowing what we're doing, Arrow.
Sounds accurate. I didn't mind this episode, actually. Mostly because Felicity was kind of back to her, like, normal self, and, like, Oliver was obnoxious in this episode, because he was still on the bit. He was still on the, oh, my relationship. Felicity's over here just going, I got secret elevators, and computers, and explosives. It's fine, it's cool, whatever. Come on, Thea, let's do woman shit. And Oliver's over here going, oh, my relationship, I can't do it. Laurel hugged me.
Why does he sound like that?
I don't know.
He suddenly turns into like a Poindexter with a sinus infection.
It was a side effect of the bee that went inside of him.
Oh, okay. Don't trust the bee in Oliver 23. But, you know, what I actually liked about the episode was that the previews made it seem like it was just going to be all, you know, mainly Felicity and her mom and whatever. But there was actually some, like, other character moments in it. They weren't, like, the sole focus. Like, I like that Laurel actually got some good moments in this episode in terms of, like, counseling Ollie and saying, hey, you've been kind of a dick. Like, settle down, Laurel, you know, all that. So, like, I like that she got some more moments, and I really loved Curtis in this episode.
Curtis was great. I like that Curtis is replacement Felicity, and
yeah,
I kind of hope it's permanent.
Yeah, so do I. Like, at the end of the episode, he's like, I realize my place is here. I'm like, no, your place is back in the Arrow Cave. Get down there now. Because, like, his presence in this episode, whereas I think he's still a very much unique character in terms of, I don't think he's, like, a Felicity clone, but, like, it reminded me of what I used to love about Felicity. And, like, his, like, geeking out over it and, like, getting nervous and making pop culture references. And
I make pop culture references just, when I'm nervous.
Like, oh, my God, he's just me. And it was just, and, like, nobody made a big deal about when him and Lance were running from the bee. He did, like, a backflip over the computer station and landed it. Did you see that?
Yes.
I'm like, wait, what the hell, like, just happened?
It was nice because, like, he always talked about how he was, like, a gymnast or whatever the hell he was. So, like, it's great
I
that
forgot about
they that. Actually, you know, used that and yeah. gave him athletical? Athlete? No, it's athletic.
It sounds like athletic. It could be real. Athletic.
Well, if it sounds right, then let's go for it. His
That's
athletical
how I
abilities.
Roll. That's how I roll. But yeah, I just really liked him. Like, Felicity seems to be taking a bit of a different direction at the moment, but regardless, I've been kind of annoyed with her. So, like if I wouldn't have been too mad if she left and we brought him in, but I'm glad he'll be more involved regardless if he's just like her temporary replacement and then like reoccurring after she inevitably returns. But still, he was like just really fun in this episode, and I felt really bad when Ollie yelled at him.
Right now, Felicity just wants to make Palmer Tech great again.
She just wants to. She's going to the Trump rally next. What the hell's wrong with Felicity? Well, and she's inevitably just going to change the name to her, you know, or the company name to hers, like we saw in Legends. But, you know, like, I am kind of sick of seeing her mother. Like,
she
I don't
just keeps
hate the
popping up.
Well, like, I don't hate the character 100%. Like, I thought she was amusing when they first introduced her, but I feel like I mentioned on Twitter, it's like when someone has a positive response, but then you keep doing it, I feel like she's someone that'd be funnier if they used her more sparingly, but she shows up way too much now.
Like, I'm fine with her coming in when there's something that needs to be done with, like, Quentin or something, but that wasn't the case here. She didn't do anything in this episode to warrant her existence in the episode.
To warrant her existence.
It could have easily just been Thea and Felicity having adventures inside the building. Like, her mom didn't do anything, like, plot relevant or anything relevant, really. She was just there to crack some jokes. That was really it.
Yeah, because all she did was, like, keep pestering Felicity about Oliver, like, when they were in peril. Like, that was her role. And, like, after she got on the elevator with the board members, she was never seen again. Like, so, like, that's how unimportant
Quentin
she
came
was.
And picked her up. It's cool.
Like, the only part
still
that
just
I...
trapped down there. I put her in
like,
jail.
The only... the only part that I really liked was when Curtis, like, hacked the bee, and she said, Curtis, and she says, how do you know that bee's name? That was the only part that I really liked.
Oh my god, I forgot about that one.
I love when he hacked the bee later again, and he said, it's Curtis, in case you guys don't recognize my voice yet. But yeah, she really didn't need to be there. I think they should use her more sparingly. It did kind of remind me of when we were talking last week about sort of the relationship drama, and I was thinking, like, I don't hate Felicity, I just hate what they're doing with her right now. And I think I was trying to think last week of what it reminded me of, and I remembered it during this week, which was it actually reminds me of Prison Break, of when there was the outcry over Sarah's death. And then they brought her back, and then they put too much focus on her and Michael. And it's like, it's fine to have that be a good part of the show that people like, but don't let it overtake everything else. Because I feel like not only is it dragging down a lot of the main stuff, but like a lot of the characters, I feel like they're not using the ensemble cast as well as the other shows. Like Laurel and Thea and even Diggle, they just kind of get lost in all this stuff. And like the main plot about Damien Dark trying to take over the Las Vegas Mall or whatever happened is just he had like a run-in with prison people this week and he killed them with kindness or whatever he did. I don't know. I kind of tuned out when he was on.
He got that sewn mouth guy that looks like he came out of Gotham.
Truly, is Gotham?
To work for him.
And, like, whenever Damien Dark is on, I just hear loud circus music in my head, and I don't know what's happening.
I think it was a line from Merlin that was, like, really funny in that scene. I don't remember what it was exactly, so I can't really make a reference to it, because I don't remember
so
what it was. There was something funny, though, I promise.
Was it about, like, of his
I can't
performance
have that
issues?
Responsibility.
Was it
yeah, that one was fun. I don't know if it was that one or not. That one was funny.
It was like, I think I know what you're talking about. Like, I can't remember either, but it was kind of about how he's sort of irrelevant in a way. Sort of. Like, about his usefulness, was it?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just funny that Malcolm's showing up with his little stump everywhere. Like, he's got it, like, on full display. Like, I think I mentioned this when it first happened, but do you have to keep something like that elevated? Like, he didn't break his arm.
I don't think I think he's good by now. It's been, like, a month, like, I think, so I think he's okay, but...
Like, all he's doing is just showing it off, like, hey, look, my stump.
Look at like, my it's stump.
Just, like, it's just so in your face.
Look at my stump. If you unwrap this bandage, I would actually have a hand, because I'm an actor. But look at my stump.
That was the funny line he said. John Barrowman just broke the fourth wall. He's like, fuck this, I'm John Barrowman.
It would actually regrow. Guys, I got a hand.
Guys, it was fake the whole time. Speaking of Merlin, he did meet with Little Diggle at the end. who is apparently still a shithead.
That guy's a little fuckstick.
Yeah.
Like, he's bad, and he's good, and he's bad again. Well, was he never good? Was it an act? Is he brainwashed again? Who the fuck knows?
Is he just mad because he's so short compared to regular Diggle?
Probably.
Like, he's upset he's not regular-sized Diggle. Like, next week looks like it's going to put Ollie and Diggle at odds. So we got Dolly fighting again, the true romance of the show. but
someone gonna die.
Like, the previews always, like, make it seem like one way, and it ends up being the other. So I honestly don't see. I mean, it could happen, but I'd be surprised if Diggle doesn't believe Oliver for very long. Like, I could see him initially pushing back a little bit, but I don't know. After all him and Oliver have been through, and after his brother, even though he's where he thinks he's good now, he's been way more shady than Oliver has. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes. It looks to be a pretty interesting episode in terms of that, though. I don't really have too much else to say. Like, it was more enjoyable than the last few weeks just because I liked some of the character moments. She's kind of a corny villain, and the B puns are forced, but, like, I like I don't remember her villain name, but Bree, just because she's Beth, and I like Beth. So, like, that's, like,
it's my sole reason.
It's
just evil Beth.
Basically, she's evil Beth with a zombie tumor, so she's trying to cure herself. Like, the B puns from her were super forced, but I admit, like, chuckling at, like, the unintentional ones the other cast members were making.
Yeah.
Like I think one that wasn't an unintentional, intentional joke was when they kept saying beacon.
Yeah.
But I was like, are you doing this on purpose? Are you, like, a beacon or a beacon? Like, I don't know.
I caught that too. And I... It was, especially toward the end, Oliver was like, I just needed to try to be that beacon, and I'm like, that wasn't a joke? Oh.
That was the exact part that I thought about it the most, too. I'm like, did you do that on purpose?
You had to do that on purpose. Come on, man.
There's no way. You know you emphasized those two E's. You added an extra E.
Beacon.
But yeah, like I said, I don't have too much else to say. Like, I just hope things get better in this last bit here and we get better next season. I don't want more ninjas and Felicity crying next season.
I don't know what I want next season. I just want something enjoyable.
Yeah, I want something different. Like, there's a lot of things they need to get rid of. Like, there's so many things I'm over. Like, I'm over the relationship drama with Felicity, and I'm honestly over Malcolm too. Like, he needs to go. I was really hoping that the whole thing with when the League dismembered or disbanded or whatever, disassembled. Avengers disassemble, I don't know. But, like, I was hoping that was going to be the end of him, because there's just so many things that I think they need to drop like that. And yeah, I don't even know what's going on in the flashbacks anymore.
I don't either. Like, the flashback total in, like, this episode was, like, maybe 30 seconds. And, like, it went nowhere.
It was just a fight between him and that guy, and he had, like, super strength from that idol, and, like, I'm trying to figure out, because we are, like, in this last little quarter here, and I'm trying to figure out where it's going, because the season, at least...
I think they're trying to origin story Damien Dark's magic, except, like, through the black guy, and I'm not really sure what they're trying to do exactly.
I mean, maybe it'll end up being neat, but it's just, like, right now it's awkward because once you found out sort of what was going on, like, the goal of this was this guy trying to get these magic powers, and now he sort of has them. I mean, he just lost his charge, but, like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, what the end game's going to be, and, like, if it does relate to him, how it'll relate to Damien Dark, so we'll have to see, but I think we mentioned it, I don't remember if it was in the pre-show or whatever, but I definitely hope the next seasons are better flashbacks, since it's potentially the last year for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what they'll do after that. I don't think they need to really do anything outside of, like, you know, random flashbacks when it's called for something else. But because I liked them so much in the first two seasons, I hope we have something at least semi-close to that, because I think this season's been the most disappointing, but threes weren't that great either.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I at least liked his supporting cast in 3 better than Wart. Or whatever her name is. Like in this episode, the guy was, like, force-pushed her away, and I was like, oh, no, Wart! He threw Wart against the wall.
Wart, Wart, Wart.
Poor Wart. Like, she's been, like, his sole supporting cast member, and, like, his whole purpose for being there is to report back to Amanda Waller, but, like, they can't use her anymore, so, like, he can't call anybody. Like, I want to see a scene where he goes outside and uses his little spy laptop, and it says, like, this number's out of service. Or, like, the lady from the Suicide Squad movie that's playing Amanda Waller picks up, like, from How to Get Away with Murder. I'm Amanda Waller, what are you talking about?
Okay.
That's such a dumb, like, that's one thing I'll say that I don't really agree with any, like, bashing of either side in terms of their approach is better or the other approach is better for Marvel or DC, but that's one thing I'll say is that stifling the creativity by restricting characters is, I think, a bad move. Like, I can totally see them being like, maybe don't do a Batman series now that we're doing the movie, which I would personally be fine with. But that I could see making a case for, but forcing a show not to use characters they've already introduced, like, especially if that Slade thing is true, is such shit. And Slade was so important to the first half of the show that, God, like, it just pisses me off. And, like, it's, you can feel it happening, like, killing off the Suicide Squad and Amanda Waller and shit like that. Like, it's dumb.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, I mean, I'm perfectly fine with them not connecting. Just, like, having a TV universe and having a movie universe. That's fine. You don't have to be Marvel and connect everything, but
no.
To say, like, go to the TV side of things and go, okay, you can't use this entire list of characters because we're going to use them for movies, and you can't use them. Ha 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 ha. And like, they just walk away.
The weird evil laugh. They haven't perfected their evil laugh. Marvel's evil laugh is way better.
That's like it's like being at like a design firm and like going to the guy next to you and saying, "You can't use blue because I'm using blue."
That's exactly. It's like the perfect example. Like it's so dumb.
You just yell from your cubicle, "I'm using blue! No one else can use blue!"
It's gonna confuse everybody. There can't be more than one shade of blue. There's 50 shades of gray, but there's one shade of everything else.
Lori, I see you using blue. You change that to pink right now!
Oh, man. But yeah, that it really is dumb. And like you said, I don't need them to connect. Like, just the idea that we essentially just know we're in a giant multiverse. I mean, they'll likely never cross over multiverse-wise with the movies, but just the idea of it is fine enough for me. Admittedly, it would have been a neat Easter egg, like when Flash traveled through dimensions to see like a little blurb from one of the movies just to show the multiverse, but like, I'm totally fine with just the knowledge of that it's a multiverse and them never meeting.
I would love that one day in a Flash episode. Just like while he's traveling. It's like we had the John Wesley ship? Snip?
Snipes?
Ship.
Snipes?
Wesley Snipes. Snipes.
Wesley Snipes, god damn it! It's Orson Welles part 2!
The old TV Flash when he was going to Earth 2 and we saw Supergirl and stuff. But it'd be cool, like, in the future, when he dimension hops, just to see, like, Ezra Miller's Flash, like, just for, like, a second in one of the little blurbs or something. Just to give that little sign that the movieverse is part of the multiverse. But, I mean, it's not something that's necessary, because, I mean, a multiverse is a multiverse. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. Technically speaking, Marvel and DC are part of a multiverse.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with them never meeting. A little nod like that would be super cool, but like just the knowledge and the use of the multiverse I think sets them apart in terms of uniqueness. Mm-hmm. But I just think that stifling the creativity on that side, that's my main point, I think is really counterproductive. Like, remember that rumor about they were bringing in Wally because they were going to fire Grant Gustin so they wouldn't confuse audiences. That would be such a dumb move.
Oh my god.
Especially since I don't find Wally to be even one-tenth as likable as Grant Gustin.
You can't fire the puppy.
No, you can't fire, exactly. But yeah, but
that's like
they really.
That's like selling your puppy and getting like some awful animal, like a spider or something.
A spider? Poor Wally, he's a spider. I guess some awful animal, like a spider.
Oh, I thought you had a puppy. No, I replaced it with a tarantula.
His name is Wally West. He's the fastest tarantula alive. And he likes to go really fast. Watch. Wee. That's how Wally does it.
I like how I couldn't think of any other animals except tarantulas.
Well, it's funny, especially since we, like in terms of like classifications, people will get mad if you call a spider's bugs and you're calling it an animal. Because they're like, it's an arachnid. Like, it's a bug.
I'm not calling it a mammal.
It's like, we made that up. They're all bugs. It's like the dinosaurs. Oh, that's not a triceratops, bitch. We made that shit up. We made all this shit up. We can remake it up if we want to. Education is an illusion. Fight the system, man. I don't know where I was going with this, but I was like, oh yeah, I was just talking about how dumb it is that they can't use characters. But yeah, that part is dumb. The only other thing I want... Wait, we do have S.H.I.E.L.D. before we get to like the movie and stuff, but I did want to just briefly mention, since there's no episode to talk about, that we did get a little... I don't know if you watched it, that little like trailer for the rest of the season. For
so good.
I know, I'm there's so going to be so many cool things. They're going to go to the Old West in the future. A Town Called
Mercy Part 2.
And exactly. And we're going to get flashback hair for Captain Lance, because we're going to get to see someone try to assassinate Sarah, and Roy's got his face in the museum as Shaw, and I think I saw Mick in there, and Carter. I don't really care about Carter. It's spelled with a W. but there's just so many cool things that are going to be happening.
Kyle, it's Hawk like... Hawkman split with a W.
That, just really quickly backtracking, it was pretty funny when Lance was mentioning like robotic bees, and he just says, "This is my life now." That was fun. But yeah, like just so many cool things coming up on Legends. Like, I seriously can't wait, and like I'm really curious about how they're going to proceed with season two in terms of like who's going to stay, who's going to be new. So, just so many cool things happening on Flash and Legends, and
if Mick is indeed alive, I kind of hope he's off for season two, just because I don't know if I could deal with his back and forth for like an entire other season, unless he has like a really big change of heart or something. But I need Vixen really bad.
Yeah, like I misheard you for a second. I thought you said I need Vic in really bad. I'm like, who the fuck is Vic?
That's a good question. But yeah, who is Vic?
But yeah, if they do bring him back in, he either needs to, well, either not be back right away or have like a clear-cut motivation one way or the other. Like, either have him be fully on board in a way that Captain Cold is, or be on board and still kind of be a criminal, but don't be like, oh, fuck everyone, and I just want to live in this apocalypse world. Sort of like what he was going to be when it first started.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I want to see Captain Cold stay on. I want to see actually most everyone stay that's there now. Honestly, I wouldn't be too mad if Hawk Girl left, even though her theme's cool. She's probably my least favorite, but, like, I love Firestorm and Stein and Shaw and Sarah, especially Sarah, and Captain Cold, like I said, and yeah, obviously Rory's got to stay.
I'd be fine with replacing Barista with Vixen.
Yeah, I think you should really like Vixen. I wouldn't mind Constantine, maybe, if they ever did that, or even, like, I wouldn't mind him just showing up in various, like, cameos.
I don't know how he'd be, like, on full team, but Having a cameo episode, sort of like he did on Arrow, would be pretty cool.
Yeah. But there's all kinds of possibilities for that. So, like, it's definitely neat since, like, originally they weren't sure if it was going to be, so they planned, like, this arc out with the Savage to, like, last just the one season. So I wouldn't mind if they took him down. And, like, I'm not a huge fan of Savage, so, like, I wouldn't mind if we don't see him for second season and, like, the plot of something else. We obviously have to keep Rory because, you know, Rory just got to go get Amy, you know. Come along, Pond, you know, all that stuff.
I almost wouldn't mind, like, the second season to not really have an overall villain and just be Doctor Who with superheroes.
That would be awesome, like, if they were either decided to just keep being rogues and running around, or if they were tasked with just going around to, like, fix disruptions in the timeline, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, like, I like having an overarching plot, but, like, they've been having so many cool, like, they just go all over the place with the awesomeness of time travel, like, the future, the past, alternate timelines, and
it's everything just that Time Force wasn't.
Exactly. Like, they made this seem like the season was going to be about that. No, it's going to be about 2001.
Fucking or 2000 the show. Japan. Watch the goddamn opening, and there's fucking, like, Asian theme and Wild West. I'm like, oh, this will be a cool show. I mean, it was a
more
good
like
show.
Power Rangers, more like Power Rangers Troll Force.
It's more
Troll accurate. Force! Troll Force! Power Rangers Troll! No, I'm going too far. Okay. But speaking of trolls, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's just a bunch of trolls. No. This week was about Mac, which was cool because FitzMac is still my one true pairing. And they actually got to interact this week. I feel like it's the first time they've interacted in a while.
Mac X Shotgun X is
one true pairing. Oh, God. That was so cool. It's just like Shotgun X. Like,
what are
yeah.
you doing, Shotgun X?
It's like the most Mac thing that's ever Mac'd. Telling his brother he's an insurance adjuster. I love how his brother shows up and is like, yo, Mac, what's up? Is this Hawkeye's house? What's going on? What are you doing? Shoots Icer. Oh, damn. But let's see. What else went on in this episode? I thought it was a pretty solid episode. The Watchdogs were advertising the game full force. They had posters everywhere. They're like, buy the game, all that stuff. We want to make Watch Dogs 2. But they got more serious, blowing up that station. And you can sort of see sort of the controversial science fiction issues popping up more and more. And Sky, I think, is definitely going about things the wrong way. Like, the people that are being super racist against aliens are definitely in the wrong, but, like, she's not doing it right. Like, scaring that guy with her powers is, like, proving their fears. So she's really not doing it right, and especially, like, the way she's going about it. Like, she's not even presenting it like, look, we're doing this to save lives. She's just like, fuck you and your racism, and boom, there go your windows. Good luck paying for that. But it's interesting to see, like, sort of the divisive opinions about that. And then, like, sort of the idea of the Cure coming up, you know, the band that played when Ant-Man was fighting Wasp. Well, no, Wasp. Hornet? Yeah.
Yellow Jacket.
Yeah, there we go. Some yellow menace.
Yellow Jacket had a cameo in Arrow.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
It seriously just kind of looked like a watered-down Yellow Jacket suit.
Like, we need to have something for Oliver to punch, so we'll just do this. But where was I going? I love how we'll just jump from that. Like, me saying the Cure, jump us all the way back to Arrow. We move back three spaces. Do not collect $200. Do not pass go. What was I even saying? Oh, yeah,
basically
the Cure.
We're the podcast equivalent of Chutes and Ladders.
Exactly. Sometimes Candyland. But, yeah, the Cure, like, I think when it was first mentioned, Sky was like, fuck racism and cures. But it's basically like the mutant plot, so it reminds me of it, definitely, like, from X3 and any plot they've ever done in terms of the Cure with X-Men, because there are certain ones that are, like, you know, mutant and proud, but then you got, like, Rogue will kill someone if he touches them, or like Beast, who might not want to look like that, which he does, but I mean, you know what I mean. Like Lash, you don't want to look like a murderous Jamaican with a terrible wig. Yeah, I think that's interesting. Mainly it's interesting because of the Civil War stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to see how those will intersect in terms of, like, they're so definitely pushing that, like, the world...
It's supposed to be big from what I hear.
Yeah. Kind of like Winter Soldier was. So, like,
yeah.
Given that, like, with the Inhuman stuff and then them just in general, like, pushing that the world is becoming more afraid of powered people and stuff, like in the news and stuff, I think that it's going to be shaping up to be pretty cool. And it's interesting because it would be neat if it's like an alternating system of like bigger impact on the show and then lesser, like last year's was a smaller, which is fine. Like I think I mentioned before that I don't always need it to have a huge impact, but like it's interesting because Winter Soldier sort of took you by surprise in terms of like what it did to the show, but this one, like, you can sort of see it coming. And like what happens might still end up being surprising, but I mean, at least in terms of some of the themes, you can see it coming, which is interesting. Apparently, which I'll have to go back and like rewatch it or like maybe see if someone put the scene up, but apparently there was a little nod to Daredevil about like on the news about the war in Hell's Kitchen or something. I totally missed it.
Oh, wow.
I was probably just talking about Gordon Ramsay, to be honest. But I'm still not sure how all of that lines up because I know that season one definitely took place after Avengers 1, but I don't remember where it was in reference to Winter Soldier or Avengers 2. And, like, season 2 seems to be very much so in the same boat, but I thought I heard that Jessica Jones was more in line with present day, but it's confusing. That's, like, one hiccup they have in terms of the timelines. Because I heard that Jessica Jones was more recent, but, like, there was reference to events in Jessica Jones and Daredevil Season 2, and I don't know. Weebly wobbly timey-wimey. You know how
they
be.
I'm sure someone's got to figure it out.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, I mean, they need to let us know so I can figure it out. There's probably a big board they have somewhere, but I need the big board. I'm a big board now. Anyway, I don't have too much else to say about this episode, actually. The only other things I can think of that happened was Lincoln got a little test from Coulson, and he wasn't like, ugh, because I'm not that Lincoln.
Like, and when like they revealed that it was like Blake that was feeding them information, I was like, it's that guy.
I forgot who he was. They're like, dun-dun-dun, dramatic turn. And I'm like, oh, the man in black from Lost? Like, I haven't seen your black ass in ages.
Like, I forgot who he was. I had to go to Twitter. Everyone's like, oh, it's that guy from season one. I'm like, okay.
Like, when they started mentioning it, I, like, vaguely remembered it. But still, I did not instantly know who he was. Like, I knew the actor from, like I said, from Lost and from other things. But, I mean, in terms of his character, I'm like, oh, no, not him. He betrayed us again. No Ward in this episode. Yubilon got to get mad at him for calling aliens freaks, and he was about to vent him. You know how he'd be.
Something about a bomb.
But next week, it looks like we're going to see them finding out about Goop Ward. You know, Ward just kills all those people, and then he goes, Goop! Final villain of season 3, Goop. So that'll be a thing. I mentioned before, I'm curious to see how long that lasts, whether it's a longer-term character or whether this is it for Brett Dalton after this season. It's like finding ways to keep Ward around. I guess it depends on how long this specific Inhuman plot goes. But yeah, I don't have anything else. You?
Nope. It was fun, but I don't really have a lot to say about it.
Yeah, it was just a pretty, I think, an overall like average solid episode. Like, it wasn't anything too monumental, but I liked the stuff they did with Mac, and just because we don't get to focus on people like that very often, and I like some of the setup and going on with everything, but there wasn't too much else going on. Like I said, I liked seeing Fitz and Mac back together again, talking, and like they haven't done much together, and like Their friendship was one of my favorite little things about last season. So in regards to other things, we're not doing iZombie this week because I didn't watch it, and we're going to wait till the finale of The Walking Dead to just go over sort of this last chunk. So with all that, I think we can actually talk about the movie now. My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. So I didn't think it was good as the original. I don't know anything about the movie. I've never seen either of them, so I have no jokes.
You can only have one Big Fat Greek Wedding and have it be enjoyable.
Nothing beats the original.
A second one is just pushing it.
Why didn't they just call the movie Bigger, Fatter Greek Wedding? That would have been way more original. But yeah, so Batman vs. Superman. I'll let you lead it off because I feel like I've been talking a lot.
That's just generally how ramble time goes.
True. I have a lot to say about a lot of things, and none of them are important political issues. They're all about controversial science fiction and time travel issues.
Okay, hold on. I gotta sit up for this one.
Time to settle in.
Okay. So, I decided to watch Man of Steel. I saw the movie Thursday night at 6 o'clock in my IMAX theater. Right up close, because it was the only seats left.
That's where you saw Man of Steel?
And it was no, Batman vs. Superman.
Your story is confusing. You lost me already. This is why you don't get the reins.
Like, me watching Batman vs. Superman was basically like, all of the game developers are pushing for, like, this new virtual reality craze. Like, that was me watching Batman vs. Superman. Like, my eyes had nowhere to go except this movie. There was... other than turning my head to, like, look at the wall, like, just looking straight at the screen and left and right, I had nowhere but screen. Like, that was it. I was trapped.
He panicked at one point and ran out. There's too much Affleck!
He's so sad. I watched Man of Steel on, I think it was Tuesday. Monday night or Tuesday night, I don't remember which night it was. Because I hadn't ever seen it. Never really felt the need to. I wasn't super into DC at the time, so. It's just something I never really saw. And, of course, I know everyone's, like, opinions about it. Everyone's like, oh, this is the worst thing of Superman ever. It's bastardizes Superman and yada yada. And so I watched this movie and I said, well, there was times where I was bored, but I don't think it was bad.
I really like Man of Steel a lot.
That was my general thought about Man of Steel. I'm like, there was some pacing issues and there was a couple times I was bored, but I thought it was a really fun movie. So at that point, I was excited for Batman vs. Superman because obviously same continuity and all that. So I'm like, okay, this should be fun. And so I went and saw it, and the movie ended. And we had probably about a half theater clapping, and fucking nerd next to me was like, that movie doesn't deserve claps. What even was this Lex Luthor? He was more like the Joker, Mad Hatter. So it's garbage.
And he was just saying all this to himself?
He was with his friend.
Oh, okay.
Would have been funnier, though.
It would have been.
I unfortunately couldn't
what
hear
what even is Gotham?
what even is this? But so obviously the guy next to me hated it, but I was like super pumped when I left the movie theater. I was like, that was fucking great. It was fun. And that's why I go see movies. I go see movies to have a good time. Like, I don't know. I don't hyper-analyze movies most of the time, and I'm a person that, like, we talked about this all the time when we talk about, like, Flash and Arrow and stuff. Like, if something doesn't follow a comic, I don't really give a flying fuck. Like, they're interpretations for a reason, or adaptations, or whatever word you want to use to describe it. Like, you might have a certain image of, like, say, Superman in your mind, and the way that they're portraying Superman in this series of movies might not meet your expectations of Superman, but I don't think that necessarily means like that it's bad. It's just not one that you agree with. And I kind of wish more people would kind of come across that way, as opposed to just saying like, oh, this isn't Batman, this isn't Superman, this was bastardizing all of the characters and yada yada. And I just don't see it like that. I mean, the movie had some flaws, yeah, for sure. I mean, most movies aren't flawless, but it was a hell of a lot of fun. It was a fun movie to watch. There was a lot of spectacle going on, and I like spectacle, and I was trapped, so I might as well enjoy it.
Might as well enjoy my kidnapping with this nerd guy going on about Lex Luthor. But I agree. Like, I've mentioned this multiple times, I think both on the show and not, but with so many different versions of characters, whether it's actual multiverse or if it's just a new comic series, it like baffles me how unaccepting like these comic book purists are of the movie versions, when I don't see it as being any different than them coming out with a new book or a new 52 situation or anything like that. And even if I'm only very, very loosely familiar with certain things about some comics, and even if I read them, I wouldn't want them to follow it because that's so boring. Why would I want to see the same thing again? Like, and I'm always curious to see what people are going to do with it and like what spin they're going to take. Like, I think a good example of that, I guess, in terms of something that we can more closely relate to is Toku, in terms of when we watch a Sentai, I'm personally not interested in seeing them do the same show again.
Yeah.
And like, I want to see, okay, what are they going to do with this? And that's something that we can more closely relate to in terms of us knowing the source material. But I never understood that line of thinking in terms of wanting to see the same exact thing over and over again. It's boring. And like, as a creative person, it's just that idea of like getting that movie and thinking, all right, we're going to go get Detective Comics 1 and then just make it. Like, no.
I think what kind of gets me the most is what I was talking about, but I think I found a better way to phrase it. Like, when someone says, like, it bastardized Superman, or this isn't Superman, like, just all you have to do to portray your opinion in a slightly more intelligent form is to say, this isn't an interpretation of Superman I agree with. And
yeah,
you automatically come across 5 billion times better to me than you would if you just said, this bastardized Superman. Like, to
or
me,
ruins them.
You lose credibility if you use words like bastardized or ruined.
Because you can't ruin it. Like, he's not gone for all time. It's like, it's either, when someone says it like that, in that context, you're either saying that somehow this version has corrupted the timeline and ruined all other character or versions that have ever happened. Or it's like if you have a long-running character, like, I don't know, let's just say it's not long-running, but let's say, like, all of a sudden, The Flash decided to have Barry kill the entire cast and then commit suicide and end the show like that. That would be ruining the character of Barry Allen, because you ruined an established character's path. But, like, this didn't ruin it for all time. I mean, the versions you liked and the versions that could come out that you might like aren't gone because you didn't like Henry Cavill as Superman. I've mentioned it before, but I personally really like his Superman. I mean, could the movie stand to be a little bit more fun in terms of having a little bit more humor and maybe making things brighter in some aspects? Sure. Mm-hmm. But I like that they want their own tone. I don't want them to do Marvel's tone. Sometimes DC is a little bit, I hate to use that word, but they are can be a little bit darker in their interpretations. Even looking at the 90s animated series, looking at the tone of X-Men and Spider-Man compared to the 90s Batman series.
Yeah.
Like that vibe is different. But like, I never liked Superman. I always thought he was kind of boring and too Boy Scoutish and just kind of dorky. But like, this interpretation, I love his portrayal of it, because it got me to actually see him as a character, and I don't want to say identify, because I don't necessarily I can identify with anything he's going through, but like, I could see his situation and find certain things he's going through relatable, and I don't know, it just kind of made him, humanized him, I guess, for me, and made him more interesting.
It's because this is one of the at least to me, because I didn't see too many of the Superman movies, because like with you, Superman was never my like really big interest. I was always more of a Batman guy, and so like to me, this was one of the few times where I've had a moment to see a Superman that is basically like a newbie. Like he was barely a hero in Man vs. Steel, and even in this movie,
Man of Steel.
I mean, what did I say?
Man vs. Steel. It might be my favorite thing to have tonight or the rest of the week, to be honest.
Spoilers, the man wins because he's Superman.
Oh my God.
He just bends it or melts it or throws it away, whatever you want to do. The steel loses regardless.
Oh, God. Man vs. Steel. It's the favorite thing to happen all week. Man vs. Steel. It's just 2.5 hours of Superman punching steel things.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. So good. What's funny about it is how confident you were in it. You didn't even catch it. You just kept going. You're like, fuck yeah, Man vs. Steel.
I just kept going. I didn't even know. Oh, my God. I don't know where I was going with that, but,
he was a newbie, okay. And, like, this the first time you've seen him.
And, like, even in Batman vs. Superman, I mean, he was only established for not even 2 years. Because it was like, 18 months after Man of Steel or something.
Yeah.
Like that. So, like, even then, he's still fairly new. And, I mean, when you're a hero like he is, you have that scrutiny against you in the public. And that was kind of the big driving force behind most of this movie, was just the fact that he was basically this god, and the public is afraid. Or part of them are afraid. Part of them are like, oh, God.
There's so much alien racism in all the universes right now.
And so, like, it's something that he has to deal with, and I don't know, one of the complaints that I see all the time is that, like, Superman's always supposed to be this hope, but, like, this...
But he hasn't gotten there yet.
Like, this version of Superman is, like, still confused about what the hell he's supposed to do.
Exactly.
Like, he just wants to save people, have people not be afraid. But they're afraid because alien racism is real.
It is, like, and all it's like, hunt down the Inhumans, hunt down Superman. It's like, we all just love each other. I agree with that. Like, he is early on, so it's like he hasn't become that yet, and that's what I thought was interesting. And I think being able to see him start from that was what made me sort of get finally attached to the character and sort of see him as a human and see some of his backstory. I'm not gonna ever apologize for loving that movie, because it got me interested in the character and it got me interested in the mythology. It presented it to me in a way that I liked, so that I could see it, and now I might be able to go appreciate other versions. But it's like before, it was never presented to me in a way that interested me. So, yeah, I liked Man of Steel a lot, and I actually got to rewatch it like a day after, because it was on TV, like a day after I saw Batman vs. Superman. I think I still like Man vs. Steel better than Batman vs. Superman. Because it was just focused on the one thing, and I think they had a little bit more heart to it and a little bit more focus because it was just Superman. I don't think that my accent is really holding up. My Man vs. Steel, pip pip the diddly do. But I don't think it's the train wreck people are making it out to be at all. I think it would have definitely benefited if they could have taken their time a little bit, like if we had gotten a Man of Steel 2 and then maybe gotten like a solo Batman movie and then done this, just because not only would it give you more time to establish things, but then you wouldn't have to do quite as much in this movie. Like, that's part of the reason that I guess I am a little easier on it in some aspects, because it's not like everybody involved in this movie wanted to do everything they had to do, but, like, the studio wants you to do all this, and, like, this movie had to accomplish a lot, you know? It had to launch Batman, it had to address Man of Steel, and it had to set up the Justice League stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's not all under their control. And did they do the best job I've ever seen being under pressure? No, but they did a pretty decent job. I mean, I think a lot more of the excitement of seeing Batman square off against Superman would have been there if I would have seen Batman established first, like if it was Bale's Batman or something. It's kind of like how I'm not really excited to see Spider-Man interact with anybody, because I don't know this little shit stain they've cast as Spider-Man. Like, I would have loved to seen Andrew Garfield interact with Robert Downey Jr., because I know both of their performances are great comedically, and the sarcasm would just be, like, off the charts. But regardless, I thought Ben Affleck did a good job as Batman. One thing I have seen is a lot of people, like, praise him for that. Even if they don't agree with some of the choices Batman did, I've seen them say that he did a good job, which I think is good.
I haven't seen any of the Bale movies yet because I'm lazy. But I think Affleck is probably one of the better live action Batman that I've seen. And like I said, I haven't seen Bale's, but I've seen like all the others. And to me, I think he nailed the kind of like older Bruce Wayne character really well.
Yeah, and that's, like, one we haven't seen, really. I mean, we have, like, George Clooney's was kind of older, but he wasn't portraying that sort of older, I'm tired of your shit, Batman. And I think that he's probably my second favorite Batman. Like, Bale is probably still my favorite. And he portrayed mostly a younger Wayne. He was slightly older in The Dark Knight Rises. But it wasn't, like, this older. But what I think my favorite thing about those movies is that it, like, captures what I love about Batman. And this one, it's not that he didn't. He was definitely a different version, but it's easier to explain, I guess, if you've seen the movie. So I'll save that conversation for when you've seen the movie. But, like, it's just more of a, I guess, more of a noble part of Batman that, like, he's basically willing to become the symbol and sacrifice his reputation in the name of the city, and this Batman's like, fuck aliens. But he did a great job at that, like, in terms of, he did a really good job as, like, the public Bruce Wayne, like people mentioned, like, the sort of playboy billionaire role, and also as Batman. And I really dig, like, the suit from The Dark Knight and stuff, but I love that they went different with this one, and obviously it was inspired by, like, Dark Knight Returns and stuff, but I thought it looked really cool. I loved all three suits that were in the movie, the default one, and the nightmare one, and the armored one. I thought they all looked really cool. And the fight scenes were really cool. Like, it was basically live action, the Arkham games. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool to see, even like if it was kind of shown in the trailers and stuff. But I've mentioned it when we talked about the trailers a bit, but I like the older Batman too, because it sort of establishes you in universe so that you can have things that have already happened. Like, they hinted very briefly at Robin's death, which is basically confirmed to have happened, and that's going to be some cool things. And I don't think we still know whether or not the Joker in this movie is Robin or not.
I'm super looking forward to his first solo Batman film, whatever that decides to be a thing that exists.
Yeah, I think it'll be cool to see that. Hopefully that ends up happening. Like I said, it would have been cool to get it before, just because, like, I think that they could have had his solo Batman movie and then had sort of the Man of Steel stuff running in the background, like his anger for it leading up to it. Mm-hmm. And I mainly think even more so that Superman needed another movie, because I was super excited when Man of Steel ended for a potential other Superman movie, and I think establishing him more would have put more weight on his death, because he really hadn't become that, like, true American hero that Superman usually is to, like, warrant so much of that, especially with under how much scrutiny he was under.
Yeah, it kind of happened last minute
when he
sacked himself to kill Doomsday, and America's just like, our hero. And yeah, that was about the extent of that.
Like, I think that another movie and, like, him... But then, like, that sort of would have taken away from some of the conflict of why Batman was mad. So, like, so it's kind of like...
a hit-and-miss thing.
Yeah, so you'd have to rework it, for sure. So, because that's why some things don't land. But, yeah, that could have been better, I suppose, with that. There was something else I wanted to say in regards to Superman. Was there? Damn, I'm trying to think. I just had a point and I lost it. Oh, it was sort of in reference to like what we were talking about earlier with the comic things. And like, I don't know much about a lot of the comics. I've only seen, I saw The Dark Knight Returns via the animated movie. So like, just really quickly coming back to that, is I love seeing them give different interpretations, and I don't want them to see them do the same thing. But it is neat. I can see like what people think is neat when you see a scene come alive. Like, I don't remember. Apparently, there are some specific scenes, and maybe possibly in the fights that were pulled from the comic, which I don't know. Even though I've seen it, I just don't remember it because you know I've only seen it once. But there was a scene, I believe it was in Dark Knight Returns, the movie, when he comes back, obviously, and the Batmobile shows up, and a cop just says to like his partner, who's never seen Batman before, "You're in for a show tonight." And there's a scene like that in The Dark Knight Rises when Batman suits back up for the first time in like 8 years or whatever, and he says, "You're in for a show tonight." And like after I saw that movie, I was like, "Well, that's kind of a neat thing. I can see why people like that." Yeah. But like, I don't want them to see the same interpretation. But like, seeing little nods like that is cool. I just wanted to bring that up. Like, just nothing to do with what we're talking about. Yeah, exactly. And it's just kind of cool. Let's see. I'm trying to think where else I want to jump to. I guess this would be a slightly quicker discussion. But how cool was Wonder Woman?
Oh my god.
I liked Wonder Woman a lot, and she was only in the movie for probably 9 minutes.
That sounds about right. But it was a very beautiful 9 minutes.
Yeah.
And a very intense music playing 9 minutes.
Oh god, her theme song is so cool.
So good.
I don't remember. When I got home, I like did the thing I usually do. Like, there's like the two things you do when you finish a movie like that. You either go get the toys, or you do like research, and this is the research day, so like I come home and do like reviews and like podcasts and research. But like one of the things I was watching, I think it was like maybe IGN's, is they described her theme as the most cool Lebanese restaurant music of all time. And I thought it was a really funny description of it. But like I listened to it once before, and I was like, oh, that's pretty neat. But hearing it when she jumps down and blocks that attack for Batman, and the music like, you know, blares in the theater, and then she like slams her gauntlets together. I'm like, fuck, that was so cool.
Super excited and, for her solo film too.
Yeah. Especially if the theme song's in it a lot, but yeah. It's one of the things I guess you kind of worry about with how much is going on is how they were going to introduce her and make it not feel awkward. And I don't feel it felt awkward at all. I thought it was pretty one of the more seamless things put in there.
I mean, it's not like the movie was called Batman vs. Superman vs. Wonder Woman. Like, her name wasn't in the title, so given how much screen time she actually got, which, I mean, wasn't a whole lot, but I feel like it was enough to where it didn't, like, detract from the Batman content or the Superman content, but still, like, got a feel for the character and got me super hyped for the solo film. And yeah. I feel like that was the main purpose of her inclusion at all, was to get those Justice League seeds going and to hype up that solo film.
Yeah. And I thought that it was one of the more, like seamlessly done sort of, hints for the future. I mean, 'cause like her presence in the movie sort of was there in the plot with her looking for the picture, which was part of the information Lex had. And then, I didn't feel it was awkward. Like, even if I didn't know a Justice League movie was happening, it wouldn't have felt that awkward, at least for me. And, like, I thought the casting on her was really good. Like, I know I've seen a lot of people that are, like, huge fans of Wonder Woman say she doesn't look right or whatever, and her, like, build
looks
or...
looks fine
or...
to me.
Well, yeah. Like, I hate that, too. Like, anybody can play anybody, and I don't know even less about Wonder Woman than I know about Superman. But I know what she looks like from comics and the TV shows, and I don't care that she doesn't look exactly like it, because I think that her, like, exotic look gives me that sort of Amazon feel.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that the suit looks cool, and...
I mean, the Wonder Woman, like, the original live-action Wonder Woman was played by Linda Carter, and she's just, like, a white woman. So, I mean, if you're gonna... like, say that, is it Gadot or Gadot? I don't know.
I think it's one of those two. It's definitely not Gadot. I think it's just Gadot's fine.
Okay, well, her. Like, if you're gonna say, like, she's poor casting, I'm like, well, I think it's better than what we've had before. I mean, not that Linda Carter was bad or anything. I mean, that's just how it was at the time, but, like, she gives me a much more, like, exotic feel than just, like, a normal white girl.
So. Yeah, like, and I don't know, like, exactly what Wonder Woman's ethnicity is necessarily supposed to look like. I mean, other than, like, the cartoon and stuff, or, like, if there's anything specific, like, oh, well, she's supposed to look like that. But at least in terms of when I think of, like, Amazon Warriors and stuff, like, her look sort of makes me think more of that. And mm-hmm. Like I said, I think the costume looks really cool. Like, Wonder Woman's costume, like, if you go back and watch an episode of the Justice League, or, like, even when I was watching Flashpoint this week, like, that's not a costume that translates well directly to, like, live action. So I thought they did a really good job with it. Because I know, like, when it first came out, everyone was like, there's no colors. I'm like, God damn it, people, just settle down. It looks cool. It looks like armor, and it's awesome. And I love during the fight, there was a meme I retweeted that was, like, Batman during the Doomsday fight, and it's just him behind a wall giving a thumbs up. It was, like, the perfect description. Because, like, Superman and Wonder Woman are, like, going toe-to-toe with it, and Batman's, like, just going, hides. Like, good job, guys. You got this one.
I don't blame him one bit.
Yeah, he's like, what more can I do here, really? I left my armor at home.
I'm just a dude.
I'm not even sure how I changed out of it that fast, the armor. You should have really kept that on, honestly. I'm trying to think, because it was so many things happening in the movie. Like, there's so many things to touch on, I guess.
Okay, let me ask you this, Lex. What do you think about Lex?
I'm kind of mixed on him. I feel like when he was cast, everyone hated it, but I kind of liked it because I thought it could be one of those surprising casting choices. And I feel like it was half and half. Like, I don't know that much about Lex Luthor either, other than I know that he's a pretty different version. And I think he was solid, but I think he overacted it a bit. I think if he had pulled it back a little sometimes and fine-tuned it, it could have been neat and different, but I'm just kind of mixed on it. Like, I don't think he ruined the movie or anything like people were saying, but I'm just kind of mixed on it.
I would say... I disagree. No, I'd say I like it, I think, a little bit more than you did. But I definitely see the... I don't want to say flaws, because it's not really the right word either. But I think it's interesting, and it's kind of a move that fascinates me more than anything for the future. Because, I mean, you know he's going to pop up again.
He's Lex Luthor.
He's not going to be faded. It's like having, like, the Joker not be relevant again or something like that. And
well, that did happen, but he got killed. I mean, he died. Whatever, I don't remember what he did. He killed himself? I don't remember what happened.
Yeah, it was...
He disappeared from existence, and then they couldn't use him again. But.
Just stop while you're ahead.
Okay. I think I was never ahead.
But I think it's interesting because it's one of those things where it's so vastly different than anything that he's been portrayed as before. Because at least all the interpretations that I've seen, like, Lex is always an adult, rich, bald dude that really fucking hates Superman.
Well, and he's always more put together and more, like, genius, but not, like, crazy. Like, this one was, like, crazy. Like, I can definitely see why people thought he reminded, because he did remind me of, like, Jim Carrey's Riddler a little bit.
But like, I think I think the option of making him like a millennial is incredibly different, especially in contrast to like Affleck being so old as Batman and Superman. Well, he's an alien, so it's just age is like whatever to him.
They don't even have numbers. Look at Power Rangers.
But like it's so different because you got such a younger. I don't even really want to say villain. I mean, he's a bad guy for sure, but he wasn't like the...
He's not even a villain. He didn't even blow up the Supreme Court or whatever. That was the Supreme Court, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a thing that happened. So I think it's an interesting take, for sure. I can see people's problems with it. It's a move that I personally thought was really interesting. I look forward to seeing how his character progresses, whether he, like, gets fucking more insane or starts to mellow out or what's gonna happen to him exactly, but I think it's interesting. I don't know. I didn't think it was bad.
I think my main problem with him was less with his performance and more with I wish his motivations were more clear. Like, obviously Lex Luthor always hates Superman, but in this one, like, he hated Superman and he wanted to bring down the idea of a deity, basically, is what I got from it. But, like, I wanted to know why. Like, I totally get that he didn't like Superman and he didn't like this idea of gods, and it was almost like religious commentary or whatever, but I wanted to know why he hated him so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what started it?
Hopefully we find out at some point.
Like, that's the thing about it being, like, it's so much to do.
My thought behind it was just based around the fact that, like, he just wanted power, and he had the chance and ability to take down what the people's interpretation of a god was, and then that would therefore make him the god because he took down the god.
I could see that.
That was my thought behind it. I don't know how accurate that is, but.
But I just think that that's something that could have been more fleshed out. Like I said, I was kind of half and half on his performance, but I think people say that he ruined the movie or whatever, or taking it way too far. Because I really like Jesse Eisenberg as an actor. I've liked most things I've seen him in. I like The Social Network. I like Zombieland, 30 Minutes or Less. So I don't know. I don't think he was terrible, but like I just hope some of the things get more fleshed out in the future. And like. Did you? I'm sure you saw that deleted scene of him talking to that, like, that dark side minion or whatever. Oh, what the fuck just happened? Why don't you pull your nose in my face?
No. Hana was on my lap and she tried to jump. We have got a styrofoam cooler on the floor and she likes to lay on it. So she tried to jump to the cooler, except she kind of missed and slid across the floor a little bit. She fell down. You had to be there.
Okay. I was sort of there, but not. It's an awkward situation.
I did see that deleted scene.
What's funny about that scene is that so many people were saying it would have been more confusing. That scene would have made things less confusing for me. It added so much context for me. Like, his whole, you know, the bells are ringing at the end, even add context to Batman's dream. Like, all that stuff I was so confused about, and like, I had to go look up, and like, once I knew what it was about and seeing that scene, honestly, that scene contextualized so much for me. And people are like, oh, it's way too confusing for the fans. I'm like, I don't know. I think it would have connected a couple dots for me.
I'm sure it's one of those things that's going to be in the DVD cut.
Yeah. But like, I just think it's funny that people thought it was going to be confusing.
I agree. I don't think it detracted anything. And it kind of helped with, like, I'm interpreting that's how he got imprisoned. Because I'm assuming that's when they caught him.
Yeah, he had he got prisoned.
He got prisoned.
You were on your game tonight, man.
That's how I interpreted that scene anyway. So not only would it have helped that on how he got captured, since it was never really shown on screen properly, as far as I remember, anyway. But, it's setting up the stage for Darkseid, and...
I didn't know who that was until I got home.
It's not, as far as that's something to do with Darkseid. I don't think that's actually Darkseid.
No, it's like one of his minions or something.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a scene that helped, I think.
Yeah.
I think the part that dragged down a lot for me, and I understand it was just kind of setting up stuff. I felt like the nightmare scene dragged on a little bit.
I was just going to talk about that because, like, it sort of ties to the dark side stuff with, I was confused because, I mean, I do varying amounts of preparation in terms of what I read about a movie, and what I thought that whole scene was going to be was simply Bruce's irrational fear of what Superman would become.
Yeah.
That's what I thought the whole scene was, but I guess it was, like, foreshadowing slash almost like a prophesizing of the future with Darkseid, and there is a storyline, it's probably from the comics, but it was definitely used in that Injustice Gods Among Us game where Superman, like, becomes kind of like that, after Lois Lane's death, which is cool, but, so I didn't know that it was serious. Like, I thought it was just because the trailers and then the little I read made it seem like Bruce was just out of his mind with this crazy worry, and this was all his fear, but it was apparently setting up some foreshadowing about Superman and Darkseid. I thought it was a neat sequence. Like I said, I liked the suit. I thought it was cool to see
Batman in a trench coat is just cool. So
and now seeing or knowing about Darkseid and like seeing the creatures and stuff, like it's cool. The thing I thought was confusing, like we'll see how this plays out, is they're trying to build Superman out of his sort of scrutiny to become that symbol of hope, but then at the same time we seem to be setting up the storyline where he becomes evil or whatever.
I don't know, like I want to justify it in that like this scene was foreshadowing Darkseid using Bruce's irrational fear of Superman. That's what I'm hoping.
Or he could potentially use Superman somehow. But, like, we'll see. Like, that's why I thought if they took their time a little bit and done one extra movie, then they could do both easily. Build Superman up and then have him do this. But, like, it's just so much unknown right now that I'm not going to call it, like, a huge, like, flaw where it's, like, a crime. But it is a little bit confusing in terms of that. But I thought it was an interesting sequence for sure. And also, what I didn't see coming was fucking Barry Allen doing his Barry Allen shit and fucking time traveling, and I didn't see that coming at all. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? Where's Cisco? did you see the deleted scene of actual Barry and Cisco from the TV show coming in right after that, just taking a selfie with Ben Affleck? You didn't see that? I think that's going to be on the DVD.
Get a picture.
That was
with
a really.
Me.
That was a really cool quick cameo that I think was actually probably one of my favorite parts, even though it was so quick, like, because I love all that shit, and like, even though I get a feeling I'm still gonna always prefer Grant's Flash, but it gets me a little bit excited for the Flash movie and like that involvement and doing more time travel-y stuff. But I didn't
Am
know
I
it was
in
the
time?
Flash
no I'm too early.
Like, I wasn't sure at first. Like, I was pretty sure because of the time travel, but, like, he was wearing, like, a God knows what the hell kind of armor, and, like, I didn't recognize the dude. I'm like, wait, what's happening now?
Yeah, I picked up that it was the Flash just because of, like, what was happening, but, like, I didn't recognize him.
Yeah, I had to look it up to be sure. I, like, Googled, was the Flash in that scene, and then, like, that led me to the dark side stuff, but, like, so my first thought about that and the dark side stuff and then Superman's death, like, they had that confusing gravel on top of his grave lifting up. I thought that was kind of unnecessary.
It kind of took away from it. Like, I read, like, the interview or whatever, and they said that they were going back and forth about whether to include that or not, and they ultimately did to basically give people hope that that wasn't the actual outcome. I'm like, well, anyone with a brain knows that the Justice League movie is coming up, and you can't have a Justice League movie without Superman.
Well, and also, like I said, I don't know a whole lot, but I thought that with that Flash thing and with Superman's death, when he actually died and it wasn't like he gasped and came awake 2 minutes later, I thought they were going to Flashpoint and like somehow go back in time and save him. Like, that's what I thought was going to happen. I'm like, oh, that's going to be part of the Justice League. Like, when they're setting everyone up, they're going to get Flash, and they're going to go save Superman. Like, that's what I thought. But I don't know how... I know the death of Superman is a semi-well-known comic story, if not, like, stunt-related one. But so I don't know. I'm about to do more research, but it'll definitely be interesting because there's lots of different directions they seem to be going in with that. What did you think of, like, other than the Flash's time travel cameo, of like the little YouTube video cameo that the Snapchats that Lex Luthor had on his hard drive?
It was a really weird way of doing it, but I liked it. Like, it was a nice way to not really force a whole lot, but to get those little quick bits in going, hey, these are the characters that are gonna end up appearing. Here's kind of how things are happening, because they probably aren't going to do major origin stories in these movies.
Yeah. I think that the best way I've heard it described multiple times was efficient, where I was fine with it. Like, could it have been better? Sure. But it didn't... it was, like, right on the line of force. Like, I didn't feel like it was totally forced, but it was definitely, you could tell this is in there for the Justice League. Like, I thought Wonder Woman's inclusion was much more seamless than this, but I think efficient was the best way to describe it. It didn't disrupt anything. It didn't feel horribly forced, but it set things up well enough. And it was kind of neat to see what they showed. I mean, Aquaman basically just smiled for the camera. But he didn't smile. But Flash was like...
He stabbed it, actually. So.
Flash was the... convenience store footage, and then Cyborg's was probably the coolest because it was like a little mini Cyborg origin with fucking Command from Scandal or Miles Dyson from Terminator 2. And apparently that box over there right next to him was called like a mother box or something that's also related to Darkseid, possibly, at least that's the theory. But so I thought that was kind of cool. This is like a total aside, but I really dig the look of Aquaman in like the designs, because Aquaman's probably amongst like Superman and Aquaman are like my two least favorite things before, and I'm still not a fan of Aquaman yet. But I'm thinking, like, if this movie made me a fan of Superman, maybe the Aquaman movie might actually make me a fan of Aquaman, because Aquaman's look is so dorky. Like,
yeah, they ended up going with one of the comic designs that like actually made Aquaman look cool.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's a step in the right direction. Like, and his powers are like half kind of dumb, half cool. He dominates in that Injustice game. Like, he throws sharks at people and shit. But, so I really dig what's going on with that. Like, despite the fact that he's probably still one of my least favorites. But, like, I like the possibility of, if they do it well, it opening up another world to me. Like, just like Man of Steel did.
I'm trying to figure out Aquaman in general, because he's got so much fucking merchandise. And
In the movie, or for the line, yeah.
Like, Flash was technically in it longer than he was.
Yeah, I'm like, I want to figure a weird metal Flash.
So, like, I'm trying to figure out whether he had a bigger role that eventually got cut, and like the huge amount of merchandise is just residual from that, because I know they plan merchandise lines well in advance before scripts are even done. So I'm really curious if there's any behind the scenes about that, or whether they just wanted another character and they just picked Aquaman.
Where's the spin-off Operation Game of Cyborg? Like, where's that, you know?
10 out of
where's
10
Convenience
play?
Store Flash, which is just a guy in a ponytail? But yeah, I don't know. I think that'll probably be either told, whether there's deleted scenes, or maybe like in one of the commentaries or like the special featurettes where they interview or they say something. But yeah, I didn't even think about that. It might be because also that he has a more complete design. Because like Flash, we saw that time travel-y suit, and then we haven't seen much else other than like a potential behind the scenes picture. And Cyborg, you know, we just had like him being assembled, but we've seen, even before this movie, we saw like a production shot of Aquaman. Right. So maybe that's why. And like, that was the costume that's been revealed. So I don't know. I didn't even think about that. It was an efficient way of introducing it. Like, I am looking forward to seeing the Justice League, for sure. It's funny. In one of the interviews, they said that part of the reason they wanted to do the death of Superman was to get Superman out of the way because he wanted Batman to be the one to assemble the Justice League.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, I was thinking about how, about that, and also about how Man of Steel did okay enough, but they didn't do enough to warrant, like, a second movie, and, like, there's no plans right now of a second standalone Superman movie because Batman and stuff does better. And I was thinking how weird it is for me to be on this side of the fence now that's like, why the hell can't Superman carry his own shit? Because I remember seeing so many people saying, like, Superman was so iconic, why don't they believe that he can carry his own movies or on any of this? And, like, I really didn't care, but now, like, I'm on that side saying, why can't we get another standalone movie? Why couldn't Superman be the one to put the Justice League together or, like, co-put it together with Batman? It's just kind of funny. Like, we don't need to get Superman out of the way. I'm curious how they're going to bring him back. He's just sleeping, guys. It's just power nap. You know how he goes. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to say, my blabbermouth self. Oh, one thing I didn't really like about the movie, which I thought was unnecessary, was the opening of Bruce and his parents, like, yet again. I know it was technically, like, almost 11 years ago now, but Batman Begins relied heavily on that, which is fine, because it was called Batman Begins. But, like, we just did that in the last Batman movie, and we know Batman's origins, so I thought it was unnecessary.
I don't know. It was in, like, the opening credit montage.
But that's what I mean. It's like, we wasted so much time with that. I think we could have done something else with it. And then even though they did that weird dream of the bats lifting him up, like the scene of him falling down in that well or whatever was reminded me so much of the way that Batman Begins did it. And I don't know. I just feel like it was unnecessary. And I was thinking about how I like how Man of Steel did it with... Obviously, we got the origins on Krypton, which is something a bit different because it also established his father and, like, almost said Zed, Zod and stuff like that. But, like, in terms of Clark's past as a kid and stuff, they used them as, like, flashbacks and, like, sparingly. Like, they weren't overly long. They were there when they needed to be. And I just think that Batman's been done so much that I didn't really need to waste time on seeing his parents shot again. I don't know. I just thought it was unnecessary. Like, with how much they had to do, I just think they could have used that time better for something else. And it, like, made you feel like you're about to watch a Batman movie, like, by himself. But they did cast, which is going to be funny, Negan and Maggie are his parents.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of funny. And also, I don't hate him, but I wasn't a huge fan of Alfred. There's just something about him that's kind of
off.
He wasn't
on screen enough for me to care.
No, I liked Michael Caine's Alfred, and even the Alfred from, like, the original Batman movies is pretty good. But, like, I don't hate him, it's just there's something off about him for me. There's one other thing I was going to say. Oh, I feel like, in general, that this movie will be a good one to look back on once more of the movies come out. Like, I think that it might... come off as better for a little bit, at least for some people, once, like, the Justice League and some of the solo movies and the universe builds, because there might be more things you notice or connect, and, like, this movie might be more appreciated once more of the pieces come together. Mm-hmm. Kind of like when we talked about The Force Awakens, about how the viewing experience of it might change after episodes 8 and 9 happen, because there's so many things that they could be hinting at that we go right over our heads because we don't know what's coming. And I think that we're just getting, like, the first piece of a puzzle, and we're making so many snap judgments. Or we're not. Everyone else is. And I think that it could end up coming off as even better, even for us, after those movies come out. And you can sort of see it as more of a part of a larger story than just this single piece.
Yeah. I kind of feel like no matter what DC does at this point, like, it's just going to be met with a big wall of hate.
Yeah, it's
I feel like that's where, I don't want to say the fandom even, it's just like, the universe in general is just like this wall of DC movie hate since Man of Steel, and I don't fully get it.
It's obnoxious, and it's like, because every time Marvel makes a move, it's always like, suck at DC, I'm like, they didn't even do anything. And it's funny to me that, like, especially this, I've never seen such a big name movie like that with Batman vs. Superman be so hated on before it even came out, like, with so much negative wishes towards it. Like, I mentioned on Twitter, like, it's funny that these huge names are having such a hard time. Like, Superman and Batman and... I mean, Batman had... The Dark Knight movies are very successful, but I mean, in terms of getting a cinematic universe up running, even Spider-Man, who's, like, the most recognizable Marvel hero, has had a rough go of getting his footing. And then you have, like, the Guardians and, like, Ant-Man and shit, like, all of a sudden, you know, coming up. And, like... Cap and Iron Man essentially being the faces of heroes for people or for kids now compared to like us as Batman and Spider-Man when we were little. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's interesting and it's getting annoying and I don't think it's really going to stop, but I definitely hope it lessens if like the Justice League is more well received. I'm hoping it will be. And you know, I saw a lot of people like wanting the movie to fail because they said they like don't want them to, it didn't, it did very well. Because like they don't want them to be rewarded for bad quality, so they keep making bad quality. But I think that they're hearing the feedback, even if it's not all necessarily true. But I mean, I think they'll definitely take some criticisms to heart. And I don't think they're going to be like, oh fuck it, let's make a bad movie, we'll make money anyway.
And I don't think it's anyone's goal to make a bad movie.
No, but
like I mean, they don't go into making this movie going, well, we can make it bad. They're gonna see it anyway. I don't think that's anyone's goal when making a movie is we can make it bad. It's fine.
And I didn't want to see them fail because no matter how much I enjoyed it, I wanted to see this do well because I'm tired of quitting. Not me, but like everyone being quitters. And we need to start somewhere with this because like Green Lantern, I'm amongst a very small amount of people that didn't hate that movie. Was it fantastic? No, but I didn't mind it, and I still stand by that I think they could have tried to make a second one and made it better, and I think they had a decent start. Well, yeah, I think they had a decent start there, and they gave up on that, and like even Spider-Man, they decided not to do Spider-Man 4, they quit before they did Amazing Spider-Man 3 or the Sinister Six or any of the stuff they were planning, and I'm tired of that bullshit of just quitting because it didn't do quite as good as you thought it was going to. Like, I understand it's a business, but this isn't the fucking mom and pop donut shop wars. They're still making millions of dollars. And like Amazing Spider-Man 2 didn't do like Avengers numbers, but it still, from what I understand, did decent. And it bothers me when these studios will quit stuff, not just because it's obnoxious for me as a viewer who gets invested in these movies that wants to see them these versions continue, but it's confusing for like the audience. Like obviously we follow it, so we know what's going on, but to have starting these characters and then dropping them and then coming out with the same characters but different and so close together, it's bound to be confusing for casuals.
My poor man like, still doesn't understand the Spider-Man timeline. Between the original three movies and the other two movies, and now he's in Captain America, and Marvel's doing it. She's lost.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And, like, if this hadn't done well and everyone's negative wishes succeeded, and they quit and then tried to do it again, it's like, this movie wasn't perfect, but it was a good building block that I think that we could flourish and make even better movies out. I think the Justice League movies can end up being awesome. I think the solo movies can end up being really awesome. And it's definitely a good start, I think. And I think that wanting them to fail and then to restart again is like, not to mention like how much more time that would take. Like if they restarted, even without the confusion, like having to cast and design and all that, it's like, why would you want to wait even longer when we already have this start that could lead to something awesome? Just everyone's so frustrating lately. Respond to my Facebook messages is all I'm saying. Just classic me. But yeah, we're like amongst the small amount of people that actually like the movie.
It's a really small crowd.
I love how, I think it was your first tweet after you saw it, you said, of course, my heretic self enjoyed it. I'm like, I think that sums us up pretty much.
Like, it does, because especially, like right before the movie, because like everyone's like rewatching Man of Steel and stuff, and just going on about how much they hated everything. And then I watched them, like, that was fun. I liked that. And and like I tweeted that, and I even used vague words like I didn't mind it, and I still just got so comments that were like, that movie sucked.
Why? It's bad because it sucks.
I'm like, well, okay. And so I had to make a my heretic self joke. Because it's, God forbid, I like Batman vs. Superman.
Well, and it's one of those things where it becomes cool to hate. It's like fashionable to hate on the movie. It's like, oh, all the cool kids are doing it. Like, gotta fit in and hate on the movie. So many things like that. I hate that groupthink opinion. Oh, this is something else I wanted to address about. I hate that people are like, they're acting like if they hear a bad review, whether it's from a critic or a friend, and they say they didn't like it, and they're like, well, I'm not going to waste my time. Like, I can understand not wanting to, maybe you want to save some money, sure, but it's only like $5 to go at noon. Like, for real, you're acting like it's $1 million. But, and they're acting like if they go see this movie, regardless of what they think of it, that it's going to steal like 5 years of their life. It's like, it's 2.5 hours. Like, I don't understand that line of thinking. Like, I know reviews and stuff exist to like let you know whether you're gonna enjoy it or not, but if it's something I'm remotely interested in, the most anything like that has ever done has made me wait. Like, whether I would say, you know what, maybe I'll wait for the DVD, or like a game, $60 game, that's more of a bigger thing where I'll be like, you know what, maybe I'll wait for it to drop or a sale. But like, if I'm interested in it, I'll never give up like my potential opinion of it. Like, I don't understand people that will read these reviews and scroll through their Twitter feeds and then just take on the opinion of the movie and never go see it. Like, out of sheer curiosity with stuff like that, I want to see something so I can form my own opinion. But people are acting like they're being saved from their life being sucked away, and it's like, I don't get it.
Thanks for the review. You saved me from that.
It's like, it's only 2.5 hours, and aren't you just curious? Like, I just can't imagine being able to give that up. It's like a huge groupthink of annoyance.
I pretty much don't listen to reviews for anything. I'll be a little bit more critical for games, like you said, because that is a really big financial investment.
Yeah.
But, like, for, like you said, if you go at noon, like a $5, $6 movie, it's like, whatever.
Yeah, and honestly, like, if you go see any movie and for $5, $6 in the afternoon and you don't like it, then that's, quote-unquote, save you from spending $15 or $20 to go buy the DVD when it comes out. Because you can't go down to Blockbuster anymore and rent it. You have to either, like, rent it on, like, an Xfinity or whatever service, or buy the DVD or wait for Netflix. And
so it saved you the $1 to $2 for Redbox, or the $2 to $4 on your cable or iTunes or whatever to rent it, or whatever the price is. I think it's higher than that, but you're going to end up, unless you pirate it like an asshole, you're going to end up spending money anyway, so.
Yeah, but it's like, either way, it's like, I can't imagine, I mean, if you're not interested in the movie
and have popcorn, so.
Exactly, and then you have it for multiple days, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I mean, if you're not interested in it at all, you don't have to see it, but if you're interested in it, it's like, get your own opinion. It's like when Michael said to Dwight, just have an original thought.
It's frustrating.
It really
like,
is.
I feel like this is kind of what people that liked Forza thought.
Don't just try to make them relatable, Brian. They'll never be relatable. Stop trying to make them happen.
Stop trying to make it a thing.
They don't even go here.
I don't know. The moral of the story is, I thought it was a pretty good movie, and you should go see it for yourself.
Just listen to all the don't listen to all the noise, and Marvel didn't pay him off, or the reviewers off, I mean.
Yeah, that was in a pre-show banter. When I have to tell the story. When I got out of the movie,
people need to know.
I, of course, like as we were saying, went to go get my popcorn refilled because I need snacks for the next 3 days. And sometimes 2 days, depends on how hungry I am. Anyway, so like I was getting it refilled, and like the guy at the concession stand was like, "So how was the movie?" I said, "I don't know why I kept the accent going after he was
gone." Hey,
but
hey, Joey so Wheeler, dog so thinks he's gonna drown.
And so I was like, I really liked it. I liked it a lot more than I thought I was, given how everyone just kind of shit on it all the time. I thought it was pretty good. He was like, "So how closely did it follow the comics?" I said, "I don't know. I don't do comics."
I was like, read. "Oh,
okay. I just thought you would. You had the shirt on, so I thought you read comics." I'm like, it was a shirt based around the movie. I mean, what gave that away that I would read the comics? I was given to this for my birthday because I said I was looking forward to the movie, so that's what happens. But anyway, there was a probably mid 20s something guy next to me in the other concession stand line. He was gonna go in to the movie right after me. It was 9:30 showing, I think it was. But he was like, "Man, I can't believe how much Disney paid off all these critics to give the movie bad reviews." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Rock on, dude." I grabbed my popcorn and just shuffled away as fast as I could.
The things that people are thinking about all of this is just...
He didn't even see the movie yet to formulate an opinion on whether he liked it or not. He just instantaneously assumed that it was great and that Disney was paying off critics.
Okay.
It took me a minute because I didn't instantaneously make the Disney Marvel connection. So he said, "I can't believe how much Disney is paying off the critics to give it bad reviews." I'm sitting here going, "What does Disney have to do with anything?"
You should have just said, "McMouse." Are you McMouse?
McMouse.
Or you just go, "Oh, in America, honey, Mickey Mouse is earthbound." And then you just walk away. Just totally confuse them. I go make bowling.
Oh my god, that more recent one where they flash back to when she randomly showed up in the apartment.
Oh god, and she's like all like dirty and gross and... Oh, man. Not yet.
Oh. Anyway.
That was a discussion. That covers our DC podcast, our weekly DC podcast. Featuring Marvel with an occasional cameo by Toku. DC is our Felicity. You just took over the show.
You know what? I'm okay with that.
Alright, so now it's time
I looked
time
over
for...
at my three plushy cube guys and my three mystery minis, and they're all DC related. I'm like, I don't have a problem.
I thought it was kind of funny that you completed both trios like within a week. It's like, I gotta complete the Batman vs. Superman trio, and then I gotta get the Flareoverse trio.
That's just how it works. You gotta get them.
And there was
sets.
Like, on both of them, there was like a hunt for one that was missing. Okay. So now it's actually time for...
Final Thingies, MP3.
Final Thingies!
I have a thingy! And it's not final.
And three. Sorry, it feels weird not to say it.
Had to.
But yeah, now we're actually in the final thingies. I can actually say final thingies in the final thingies, so you don't get the final thingies. Bingo, final thingies. How many times can I say final thingies?
No bingo space for you, fucks.
Nope. Week we will reluctantly answer your Twitter questions, so if you have any more this week, send them in. So honestly, I think that's it. I can't think of a time in a while that we've had anything besides that to say in Final Thingies, like, oh, coming soon, such and such. We just gave up on all our dreams.
Yeah.
I totally forgot My Morphin' Loaf existed until Kiefer brought it to my attention.
I know.
It was like I knew what it was like to be an amnesiac and regain memories. That's what it was like. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is My Morphin' Loaf? Oh, it's us. We did this. I remember Constantine.
Oh,
man.
Oh. Yeah.
Yep.